right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Flagrant 2 Podcast, analysis by assholes, no easy buckets, actually in the opposite order, but I don't give a fuck. My name is Andrew Schultz.
It's all good, damn it. We've done a couple of these already.
Thank you. I'm here with Akash Singh, a real life Kaz, and listen, hey, welcome back, obviously.
Akash is back and alive.
There you go, yeah.
I'm still not healthy, still sick. Only person doing worse than me is Austin Rivers.
But at least you're here, goddamn it.
There's a Flagrant 2 fan. There was a Flagrant 2 fan with floor seats at that Clippers game. He was getting yelled at home.
Yeah, that's what makes it funny.
That's the wildest shit. So a guy in the front row, I don't know if he paid thousands of dollars for these seats or he was given these seats. Usually those seats are given. But he was talking shit to Austin Rivers and Austin stopped the game and he gave him like a talking to. He like warned him. He was like, yo, if you keep talking shit, I'm going to fuck you up. Which you're not going to do. And the guy's not going to do it either. But like to get shit talked to you from the front row at home.
You know it's eating at him. And you know what?
I feel bad for what we're doing to Austin Rivers.
I was about to say, like, it's kind of your fault.
You're not wrong, though, is the thing.
You're not wrong.
I just feel bad for him.
Why?
Because it's just sad to watch a man fall apart.
Yeah, and on top of that,
He needs to be broken down and built back up.
He has so many layers that he has to deal with. Yeah. Like, it sucks, like, when you're a highly touted prospect coming out of high school or Duke or any of these prestigious places.
Yeah.
And then not only do you have to play in the NBA and live up to those, but now you have to live up to those while playing for your dad.
Yeah.
In LA?
I think his dad enables him. I think that's an issue.
Yeah, I feel bad for him for one thing.
Mm.
And I think I would feel uncomfortable if I knew all of my colleagues were piping my sister.
Now,
that's hard to live with. That would be hard to live with. Right? He looks like all the guys who are getting head from his sister. If you don't know the image that we're looking at right now, you can go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheAndrewSchultz.
This will be 10 times funnier when you watch it. But here's the thing, right? The thing with Austin Rivers, and I don't think we give enough, I don't want to say credit, but think about enough, is that playing for your dad is difficult. Like, I've never had a relative or a dad that was like my coach.
I gotta cut you off real quick though. And again, I do feel bad for him, but I gotta say this. He's playing for his dad because no one else wanted him.
There we go.
Okay.
Like, look, if he was an elite NBA player,
nobody would care.
Nobody would give a fuck. Yeah.
It would be a nice story.
It'd be a nice story.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna feel bad that you get to start on a legit NBA team.
Are they legit?
I don't mean legit in terms of like a big market.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
A legit NBA team or a big market NBA team make millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a painting of him on the.
Yes.
On the, he has
we
a
saw
banner.
That.
There was a banner of DeAndre, Chris Paul, and Blake Griffin. And then there was one more banner of Austin Rivers. If this was a multiple choice test and the question was which one of these does not fit in this group, it would have been the hardest question on that test.
I bet JJ Redick like looks at that banner and is like, yo, what the fuck?
Yo, seriously. You gotta cry racism.
I think Crawford had one, but Redick did not.
Even Crawford having one, I question because it's like you're not even starting.
Yes, you know.
So there was an issue here. Look, clearly, he's benefiting from a connection on a team, which is fine. We all benefit from shit. Everybody that has gotten a job because of a friend, an uncle, a coworker. We all get hookups all over the place. Yeah. I would be remiss to say that I haven't in my career. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you have to live up to the expectation.
Yeah. It still doesn't make it easy, though. You know what I mean? Like, what was his expectation coming out of high school? I think we've spoken about this in an earlier episode, but like, I thought he was like, it's going to sound fucking blasphemous now, but anybody who's seen his high school highlights will attest to this.
He was balled out on
him. He was like a young Kobe. Like, he played his game.
I mean, he's talking about two 17-year-olds.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when he's played in high school, he's 6'5". He's taking difficult shots, acrobatic layups, all this stuff. Like, he played like a pro shooting guard would have to play like.
Yeah.
From his first year at Duke, though, I was like, I don't know. He hit one big shot. And everybody thought he, and I was like, I remember hearing a lot about him struggling before that one big shot.
Yeah. And like he had a nice little step back.
I think it was against UNC 3-point or something.
I think it was North Carolina. It was a big game.
Big game, big moment.
You hit a game, you play for Duke and you hit a buzzer beater against North Carolina. You're a household name. It doesn't even matter if you're Austin Rivers or Doc Rivers' kid, whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's
not
like,
in the Schultz household, apparently.
Apparently not. But it's...
Keep going.
I feel for him because at this point in his career, I would say he's kind of a disappointment. You know what I mean? And that's because...
Not kind of.
All right. He's an NBA starter. He's not a good NBA starter, but he's an NBA starter, right? At the same time... Very difficult to live up to those expectations.
Yo, just smile.
That you pulled off.
Like, that's another thing. Like, you seem cranky.
Yeah.
Like, if I win the lottery, I get millions of dollars. And the one negative thing is I can't be in a bad mood for my life. I can't publicly be in a bad... Because if we see somebody who wins hundreds of millions of dollars in the lottery, and they're walking around just like, ugh, today's the worst.
But he worked for it, though. It's different, man. It is different.
Like, look, plenty of guys work for it.
Yeah.
It's not a question, right? We've gone to Summer League. We've seen guys who've literally played their entire life. That's the only skill that they have.
Yeah.
Not make a team. It's pretty sad.
Here's what confuses me. His personality seems like Doc Rivers did not coach it at all.
Why?
You know what I mean? Like, Doc Rivers is all about, when he coached the Celtics, they call it Ubuntu and, like, brotherhood. Yeah. And, like, he just seems like such a, like I'm going to raise you to be a man. Not to the same level as Popovich. It's something like
out
togetherness.
Out of many one.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is that African?
Yeah.
I forgot what it is. I forgot
I mean, it damn sure ain't French.
Ubuntu.
Listen.
Wait, no, not out of
Ubuntu
many one.
Ubuntu sounds.
It's something about unity. Somebody's going to comment this and be like, oh, that was wrong, Kaz.
You're not really African, bro. You don't know every African dialect, Kaz.
You don't know every single African country, the African word ever. Anyway, it's something about unity. Continue,
Akashi. That Doc Rivers, it just seems like not the same degree as Popovich, but to a level, he just kind of helps you be a better man.
Yeah.
That's always the vibe I got out of Doc, that he cared about that kind of thing. And then I remember Austin Rivers was 17, wearing like an $800 snakeskin hat and courtside of the game. And something immediately, I was like, something's off.
Yeah.
And then he went to Duke and he felt mad cocky, and now he went to the Pelicans and flamed out. I thought he might get humble. He's the same level of arrogance. It's like Doc just let him do whatever he wants.
See, you find him arrogant. I don't find him arrogant. I'd find him...
Oh, no, he was definitely arrogant.
I'm saying, I just don't see it
even
as
in
that.
High school. They did a documentary on my high school, St. Patrick's on HBO, and they played his school, Winter Park. And, like, they interviewed him before the game, before he was about to play St. Patrick's, and he's like, you know, I want to be the best player to ever play the game.
Good.
Like, ever in life. Which is great. You're supposed to have that type of confidence. But the optics of that, when you're this guy whose dad's been in the NBA and is a legendary NBA coach, like, you would think he would know better than to put that target on his own back.
You know what's also funny about that?
I don't mind about
it. And this might explain if he's angry now. I remember reading an interview with him in high school or freshman year where he said, like, I know everybody knows me as Doc's son, but now I'm going to make my own name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then 4 years later, you are getting coached by your daddy. I'd be angry.
Listen, I'm not upset at him having that mentality. I think that's what you got to have. Everybody should go into anything wanting to be the best.
I feel like
it's a waste of fucking time. You could get a reality check later on, like maybe he's getting, but like, I'm not going to hold you accountable for having dreams. That's a
weird thing.
I don't
know, man. I still think there's something very J.R. Smith-ish about him. You know what I mean? Even though J.R. Smith had like a better beginning to his career.
Yeah.
I'm not...
You're not sold
I'm not
out?
All the way. So, I don't think he's gonna be. I think he's gonna turn it around one day for some reason. I don't know why. Like,
are
I
you
think every
you're
good.
Afraid he's gonna fight us because I.
Oh no! I don't give a fuck. I go fuck. I'll fight. Well, all I'm saying is, you know, every good team, every good championship team has always needed that one guy with the irrational confidence, and he has that same type of J.R. Smith.
I don't irrational see what you guys confidence. Are seeing.
I'm telling you, dude.
I see a guy who lacks confidence. That's what I say. I wish I love irrational confidence. One of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah.
And I really think JR has it. I wish he had more of it. I think he's going through a time right now where he's not that confident. Because if you are confident, you won't let some schmuck sitting in the front row say one thing to you and then go give him a talking to and tell him you're going to fuck him up. That's not a confident person.
I don't think that's lack of confidence. I think that's flagrant too.
It's flagrant two's effect. But like, for example, if I say to the heavyweight champion Andrew's of the world, if I'm on an island. Okay.
Listen, I'm not saying you did this. I'm just saying I feel bad that we did this.
I don't feel bad. We have an effect on the world. You know what I mean?
I'm cool with that, but at the same time.
We got to think about what happens when we do see these people. I got to talk to Charlamagne about that. Like, how do you interact with somebody?
You got to keep that same energy, man. You have to. For the integrity of the show, you have to fight.
I'm not going to go up and kiss his feet. I'm just saying when you meet people that you've talked shit about, you don't go up to them and then continue talking shit.
Nah.
It's just like what happens in that moment.
It's an awkwardness because either they're going to mention it. Yeah. Or you're going to mention
it. I have no problem. But
a lot of the times, it's them. If they really feel away, they're like, I heard you was talking. Yeah, I heard your show. Talking shit, whatever.
But I have no problem. Be like, yeah.
It's at that moment that you got to be like, yes, I did say that. Yes.
Yeah.
Look at you. Like, the proof's in the pudding. I'm watching it just like millions of other people are watching.
Yeah.
And it is at that point.
I guess I want to know, do I bring it up or do... No, we're not fighting. I'm 34. I have a mortgage. We're not... I'm
5'7". I'm not fighting.
You're not fighting for biological reasons. Akash's still going to have the flu. Come All-Star Game. I got the flu. Y'all got to handle this. You're going to have a SARS mask. He breaks out. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting when we start meeting these people that we've talked shit and
if we go to our All-Star Weekend, we will run into Austin Rivers in the stands.
Yeah, All-Star. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to have him on. We could pick his brain about it, see how he feels. I honestly feel like I could coach him through this. There's nothing, I really do believe it, like there is nothing that gratitude doesn't satisfy. You know what I mean? If you change, it's just, he has a face that's, and I say this as someone who also has that face, I can be off-putting.
Yeah.
Like I can. There's certain things I don't put up with well, bro. And I've learned this about myself. Like, incompetence, I don't understand how to deal with it. Mm. And I come across very, like, condescending and, like, arrogant when I do it. It's just, I don't know how to deal with incompetence. I haven't learned yet. Yeah. I'm going to figure it out. And that can be very off-putting. He might have an off-putting thing to his face, and we just need to work on it. Just smile a little bit more, you know, like dap up your teammates or something like that. Look excited. Look into being in the game.
There's, you know what's funny Austin Rivers? Austin Rivers kind of carries himself how you think Lonzo Ball would carry himself.
Wow.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because Lonzo's way more...
he's the most humble. Down to earth, never says the wrong thing in the press, never fucks up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Lonzo seemed like Doc's kid.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, he carries himself.
Seems like LeVar's kid.
It's almost like... Like LeVar and Doc, like, switched kids at birth.
Yeah, for real.
And maybe that's the kid that you, because you look at Austin Rivers, it's like, yeah, he's cut from the same cloth as LeVar. Like, he seems like just like LaMelo. LaMelo, and you could tell that's why LeVar loves LaMelo, because he's just like
him. Just like LeVar, yeah.
He plays like Lonzo, but like, he has the same type of shit talk bravado that his dad has. That's his father's son, 100%. Lonzo, on the other hand, cool hand Luke, calm and collected, never gets rattled, almost looks. To a fault, looks like he's got like the fucking the Jay Cutler thing going on, where like he almost looks like he doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when he's playing, like, because he's just so
cool. Lonzo?
Lonzo looks like he acts like what I assume LeVar's wife acts like. Like, I assume calm, Lonzo's cool, like, his mom, like, you gotta be completely calm. Yeah. Nothing gets to you. This is all noise. Like, oh, I block it out. Yeah, exactly. That's just
dad.
You know what I mean?
Lonzo's facial hair and just hair, they look like Magneto's mask. Have you seen the way his face looks now?
The way it's just like conforms, arrows. Yeah.
But here's a question: if Lonzo had Austin's numbers this season, it would be a more successful, much more successful year for Lonzo.
Shooting wise, yeah.
Even points.
That's what I'm saying. Shooting wise, points wise. Lonzo, for all of the, you know, hubbub that he's gotten about, like, not living up to expectations.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at a stat right now, but I'm sure someone could correct me. I'm pretty sure Lonzo has better stats than the Austin Rivers across the board, except for shooting. He's a much better rebounder.
Yeah, he beats him in rebounds and assists, but he's less points.
He's less than points, yeah.
Yeah.
And probably a worse shooting percentage.
Terrible shooting percentage. But
Lonzo might be a bust, too.
I don't think so, man. It's early.
I had him as my rookie of the year. I don't want to believe it. But like you said, there's a, you know, confidence is very important in the NBA. Irrational confidence,
you need that type of confidence
is nice, but you need NBA. Deion Waiters has NBA confidence.
Yeah.
He is unshakable. with his self-esteem. He knows he's going to hit every single shot, even when he doesn't. And right now
if
we're seeing...
If he's on the break with LeVar, with LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, and he doesn't get the ball, he's legitimately pissed.
He's upset. He's like, guys, hello.
He got Jordan confidence.
Yeah, for real. He got Jordan confidence. And it's just one of those things where, like, you see... I'll just look at the stat line for Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, 34 minutes and 8 shots.
It doesn't look like effort. You know what I mean? Like,
always played like. I watched him at UCLA, and that's why I wasn't impressed. I was like, he just don't look like he's trying.
Yeah.
But that's just his game, I think.
Yeah. Well, we need but you to
were,
try.
There were certain games at UCLA where, like, he went off.
He would go crazy.
Like, if his shots go in, like, he'll have a great, great game. And he'll look confident. Like, he'll talk a little shit. Like, he'll pump his chest just a little bit and stuff like that. But when his shot's not falling, he's just...
Yeah.
He's just gone out there. I don't know. I just think...
you know what the problem is with the Lakers? They've got too many young guys trying to make it.
Yeah.
If the Lakers had a few vets that knew their role and they knew what shots they were supposed to take and not take, Lonzo would destroy. Get in the lane, dish, have fun. But they've got a bunch of kids that are trying to make a name for themselves, and rightfully so. They got this kid...
Kuzma,
who's playing great.
Mm-hmm.
Randall's still trying to get money. You know, he didn't get that extension he wanted, so he's still trying to prove himself.
Ingram's playing good basketball,
and he's got some heat under his ass now that Kuzma's over here.
Yep.
Then they got this other shooting guard...
Jordan Clarkson?
Well, no, the other guy who's...
Hart? Oh, Josh Hart?
Well, there's another one, but Caldwell Pope or something.
KCP.
Yeah. So it's like they've got everybody on that team is going, how do I make it? How do I establish myself as an NBA player? And they kind of have the green light under Luke Walton's system.
Yeah.
So it's not a system where they say, hey, Lonzo's going to control the ball and everything is going to go through Zoe.
Well, Luke comes from the
Golden State, Stephen Kerr culture, where it's like, hey, let's move the ball around. That is the worst possible system for a guy like Lonzo, because in order for him to be effective, he has to have the ball in his hands. He's not a pop-up shooter. He has to get to the basket and dish, or get to the basket and score.
Mm-hmm.
Or he does a little move on you or something like that, maybe take advantage of a smaller guy in a post. But he's one of those guys where you need to give him the rock, and that's not going to be a Luke Walton system.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have to make a decision. Do we let Luke run this team and use these players the way that he sees fits, or do we get a new coach in here that wants to run it through Lonzo?
Nah, I don't think they'll get rid of Luke Walton. I just think I've seen this happen before.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they said the same thing about Jason Kidd when he first got into the NBA. They said the same thing about, like, Kobe.
Who's the ideal coach for Lonzo, really?
Yeah, Jason Kidd. Exactly. Jason if Kidd. Jason Kidd was...
You know, it would also be interesting, actually, if they don't... Sorry to interrupt you. If they want to get rid of Luke Walton, Mark Jackson.
That's another... Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten another shot at
it's
the
crazy.
At the coach.
Blows like, my mind.
He must have... There's some skeletons buried somewhere for why he hasn't gotten
another... I don't know if it's skeletons, but I heard that, like... he has a ministry in, I think, L.A.
I did hear about that.
He didn't want to live in Golden State. He wanted to be able to fly back and do his...
That's what he was doing for a while.
Yeah, he was doing
while
that
he
for...
He was coaching the Warriors. He would fly back on the weekends or games on Sundays where he didn't have, games
right.
and run that ministry.
Yeah, and they were basically like, yo, this is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
We want you in the city.
He tried to fill Jackson in.
He tried to fill it,
yeah.
You know, and they didn't think he had the pedigree for it. But I think Mark Jackson would have been a good look because it's that antiquated style of ball. And it is. It's an old style of ball. It doesn't really work anymore.
Yeah.
So the question really is this. It's like, does Lonzo have a skill set? And this can bring us into interesting Melo conversation.
Yeah.
Does Lonzo have a skill set that works in today's NBA?
Yeah, he just got to hit shots. He can't shoot for shit.
But that's part of the skill set. So if he can't shoot, does he have a skill set that works in today's NBA?
Okay, for everything that Lonzo hasn't done well,
right.
He advances the ball very well.
Like, great.
He gets them running. You know what I mean? He's a great rebounder for a guard his size.
Amazing.
That being said.
Elite passer. Yep.
You know what I mean? That being said, he needs to put on some weight.
Sure.
He needs to hit some shots. If he's even an average shooter, he's still in the rookie of the year conversation. He's just been putrid. Like, you can't get any worse than how he's shooting. He has like 1-for-12 games and shit.
Roberson is looking at him like, oof.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy can't shoot for shit.
But to the point of Jason Kidd, I mean, I know you're saying it's a different NBA. I don't think this NBA is like the permanent this is what the NBA is forever, necessarily. I think there could be a time for a point guard who distributes, makes his teammates better, and I think Lonzo fits in there. Like, you want a guy who makes everybody better.
And
he can learn to hit a three.
Everybody loves playing with him.
Yeah.
And that's what you hear Luke saying, that's what you hear all his teammates saying, but, like, who doesn't like playing with the guy that gives you the ball to shoot?
And you know he ain't shooting.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Of course, everybody on that team that wants to drop 20 is like, oh, we love that guy who only shoots eight times a game. Exactly. We gotta see, if you're the franchise player, you gotta play like that shit. Interesting. Brings us into the Melo discussion.
Oh boy, Melo.
So far, I've been completely right about Carmelo Anthony. I just want to point that out.
I'm hearing, we got to give Schultz credit too. I'm hearing a lot. I heard Tracy McGrady talking about it. Melo's the problem on OKC. Schultz called it immediately. I still don't think OKC is done by any stretch, but you were the first dude to say it.
I knew it immediately. Immediately when we got rid of Melo, it didn't matter what it is. He is that, like, rain cloud. He's the rain cloud, no matter where he goes. And it goes to this. This is what I liken it to. There's Borscht Belt comedians back in the day, like a long time ago. And these were like these Jewish comedians that would perform up in the Catskill Mountains. And they would do these one-liners, kind of like Rodney Dangerfield, you know, type of shit. But I'm trying to give an example. You know, here's my wife. Take her.
Take my wife, please.
Take my wife, please. Or whatever those lines were. You know what I mean? Like those one-liner.
No respect, though.
Exactly.
No respect.
But like those one-liner type of jokes, right? Mm-hmm. Those people were amazing comedians.
Yeah.
Then they had a skill set that made them amazing comedians in that time of comedy.
Like what's the guy's name? Andrew Dice Clay. It comes in
Okay, that was another time of comedy where that was elite. But like even before that, it was this one-liner thing, you know? And what happened is comedy changed.
Yeah.
And now we have a different expectation of what's funny. And if those guys tried to go up at a comedy show now, we'd be like, all right. I mean, I see what you're doing with that joke thing.
Is this like ironic?
But yeah, like, is this meta? Like, are you making fun of that? Like, what's...
It's like the hamburger dude, right? Hamburger.
Yeah. He's like, why do you have a tagline?
Oh, he said it. Everyone's like, what are you doing? Great.
Exactly. So it's like, we'd be looking at it like, oh, this is an antiquated, right? And that's the same thing we're looking at. Melo is like, oh, you're going to take shots from 6 inches in from the three-point line for 2 points? Okay. Yeah. That's, I guess that's what you... I guess people do that.
Yeah.
In the 90s, we did that. He has an amazing skill set to play basketball in the 80s and 90s. If he was playing in the 80s and 90s, he's given Jordan a run for his money on the right team.
Couldn't disagree more.
Let me just get the point out. So he's iso ball, he's stop it. That's what we were playing back then. That was the game, and that's how you were, and that's how he functional. There weren't these swing threes, fours that could do everything. He could actually guard fours, maybe, back then.
No, he'd absolutely be a power forward back then.
He could be a power forward, but he had the agility earlier in his career to also guard these threes, so he wouldn't be constantly mismatched like he is now.
You gotta remember, Charles Barkley was like one of the best power forwards in the game. He's only 6'4".
Charles Barkley was 6'4". No, he's not.
6'4".
Look at you. Charles Barkley was 6'4".
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Charles Oakley.
No, Charles Oakley was
6'8". I think Charles Barkley was 6'6", but the rumor was like, he's so short, he's all...
I think listed 6'6".
He stands next to Jordan, and Jordan has an inch on him.
All right. 6'6".
6'6".
All right, whatever. It doesn't matter. So, I guess, but the point being is that, like, he had this game that was amazingly set up for the end. So when you see him play, you're like, yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
When you see him score, you're like, wow, he's incredibly skilled. When you see him take the last shot of any game, which you want him to do because he's probably the best that does it alive right now, that's ISO
still
basketball.
Got it,
The problem with him is that in order to have him on the floor, you need two other defenders that are going to only play defense.
Mm-hmm.
So to get 18 points out of Melo, you need Roberson, who's going to give you 0 points. He could be the worst shooter in the history of basketball. And then luckily you have Adams, who's proficient, but he's not going to be a big scorer.
Yeah.
So it takes three guys to get 18 for Melo.
And that's because of the way the game is now. You know what I mean? Like, I was reading some stat, and it said, you know, when the Phoenix Suns revolutionized, you know,
7 seconds or less,
or less, whatever.
Shout out to D'Antoni.
That was the fastest, you know, whatever. They were putting up 100 points a game. You know who's equivalent to the 7 seconds or less offense now? The fucking Memphis Grizzlies. That's how much, you know, the game has sped up since then. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the Memphis Grizzlies play now like they did, if they were like dropped into 2004, 2005, they would be 7 seconds or less. That's how much the game has sped up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's right when Melo got into the league. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So when he first got in, and it's still, you know, every other team is still playing, you know, slow down, you know, a 100-point game is a high-scoring game now.
Yep. So that's what I'm saying. What I mean? I don't agree that Melo would have been that great, because this era of basketball started 5 years ago?
No.
The Suns started 0-4-0-5.
Real quick. So it started with the Suns.
Yeah.
And then Popovich picked it up after that. And once Popovich picked it up after that, the rest of the NBA got on board.
Popovich picked it up, but Popovich's first run of championships was with Tim Duncan. Sure. Everything is through him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
05-06, the Spurs won. 06 or 07-08, the Spurs won. And they weren't playing super fast.
Yeah, the Celtics and Lakers.
Celtics were defensive. Mm-hmm. They weren't Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. They weren't running the ball up and down the court. They weren't doing run and gun.
Sure. Yeah.
The Lakers who won after that, they were through.
I would say last 10 years.
Yeah, definitely the last 10 years.
I think it shifted toward
think
that.
About
but
it.
Those teams haven't become dominant until the time I remember that team winning the championship was the Spurs when they beat the Heat.
What was the last, and I had this, and I was having this conversation with Michael Che. Well, because he's a big Melo fan, he thinks, he just thinks Melo's really good. And,
that's crazy.
He also thinks that, I know, it's absurd. And he also thinks that, like, white guys don't like Melo, right? Which is like the classic, like, I don't have any reason or logic to back up my argument. So racism.
I mean, but that's the thing. Not for nothing. Not to cut off the Michael Che thing. Yeah. Like, that was my Knicks goggles for a while when I was watching Melo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, the guy puts up 25 points. Like, if you're not watching every day,
yeah,
you're just seeing this guy work tirelessly to put up points, to put on what it seemed to be a undermanned Knicks team just to make them competitive.
Yeah.
Right? And now you look at this Knicks team now, where they're hanging in games that they have.
When did Melo become Colin Kaepernick? He's too black for me. No. What the fuck is this?
So I was thinking about this.
I'm just saying that's how Knicks fans used to defend it. It's like, yo, people just hate on, like, when those ESPN rankings would come out and he'd be like 50th in the league, even though he averaged 20 something a game.
Yeah,
and it's
like,
oh, they're just hating on Melo. They're just because, you know, they don't like him because of whatever.
Because he plays too black a style of ball.
I don't know. I did not know.
Mid-range jumpers is a black style basketball. Soft layups is a black style basketball.
I think what he's saying
is he's quite possibly the whitest. His game is Rick Barry. He plays the whitest game. It's not a black white thing at all. And real quick, just to acknowledge that, let's just say every white dude that disagrees with Melo is racist, right? If there is one thing, let's hypothetically speak. If there is one thing that trumps racism, it's winning in sports. Alabama is going to play in the college football playoff. And all those KKK racist motherfuckers are going to watch that game.
And
if they take out, if Alabama removes their white, their black running back and puts in a white running back, there will be one play where the KKK guy goes, all right, let's see what he's doing. And if he loses a single yard, they're going to be like, this is a diverse country. Why are we getting... Listen, America is about bringing all different races and creeds together and creating an environment where everybody can flourish. Now put the black guy back in. Listen, Alabama will hang a white coach if they even dare put a white running back in for this college playoff.
Burn Nick Saban at the stake.
They will. They'll light his house on fire like it's a church. They're like, are you sure you got the right house? Nick, don't you ever put a white man in a running back again.
Oh, man. I'm trying. Listen, I've died on the Melo Hill so many years, and it's just, it sucks watching them just
Think they can figure it out.
Okay, I'm losing faith.
You know
faith.
What actually gives me faith, though?
Tell me why you think.
Well, I just think they have talent. I've seen them play well. They beat the Spurs last night.
The Warriors.
They handled the Warriors. And you know what always,
injured Warriors, but okay.
You know what I always hearken back to, believe it or not, is a Knicks team.
Mm-hmm.
99-2000, the Knicks team that made it to the finals as the 8th seed.
The 8th seed.
Yep.
It was just a bunch of talented, kind of ill-fitting parts. I know it's a different league, but I always think about that team when I think about the Thunder and how they just kind of figured it out in the playoffs. And I remember, because I'm a big Reggie Miller fan, they beat the Pacers first seed, first round. Or no, conference finals,
whatever. They beat the Heat the first round.
Heat first round on Houston.
Pacers conference finals, Larry Johnson, four-point play. But I always think about that when I think about these Thunder. Like, they could
So
get
I love my Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say what happened here, we beat
the Heat
on a floater, and then we beat the Pacers on a 4-point play.
But it was a 6-game series. That was a take.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Okay, I thought it was game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, here's my point. My point is not can they figure it out. My point is if they do figure it out, it will take Melo changing how he plays the game.
Do you put?
Yeah.
Do you have Melo come off the bench if you're the coach?
Yeah. I have Melo go to the bench. and then I have him sit on the bench from the beginning of the game until the end of the game, and then he can get off of the bench.
That is
the best way you win. You have him sit on the bench.
The only time he walks on the court is the handshakes.
Exactly. You handshake, warm up, hey Mel, warm up, you know, blah, blah. And then if I even hear one of the buttons on his warm up pants unclasp, if I even hear timeout immediately, someone take Mello to the back. I think he was trying to check himself into the game. There's something going on. Yeah, something going on here. So that's me personally. Would they be better if they brought him off the bench? This is what I would say to Mello. I go, Mello, what do you care more about? Let's have an honest conversation. Scoring 18-20 a game or starting? Because we can't do both.
Mm.
And he goes, I prefer to
score
18-20. Okay, I'm bringing you off the bench. You're going to get 20 minutes a game, and when you're in the game,
you just shoot.
Don't even think about doing anything but shooting. I don't even care if you play defense. I'm going to put guys in there that got your back.
What they need.
A lot of great basketball teams have had those Vinnie Johnsons, those J.R. Smiths, those guys like
Jamal Crawfords.
Jamal Crawfords, yep. That were stars, Manu Ginobili, that were stars certain years.
Yeah.
And those are teams that like, yo, we need, and not for nothing, you watch the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're super top heavy. That starting five, they hang with anybody for the first couple minutes. Mm-hmm. Soon as people start coming off the bench and like it's just Russell and like a bunch of guys or Paul George and Melo trying to figure it out with a bunch of guys, it doesn't really work. So I mean, you know, Paul George is a 3-and-D guy. If he's not scoring, he's still effective because he can play defense and, you know, make passes or whatever. Yep. Melo, he's a pretty decent rebounder. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, you can still do that. You can do more of that if you're surrounded by four role players and just do what you did.
That's the thing. And then you could stagger them. You could play Russ with Melo, and then you could play PG running point with Melo. Because PG wants to create also. Yeah. But you just can't have, in my personal opinion, if you're going to have Melo play ISO ball, it's just not going to work for 40 minutes. Because Melo's an interesting player. He's not a guy. There are certain guys that you can give them the ball.
Mm-hmm.
After not having him touch it for three quarters, and they're automatic.
But here's the thing. He's
not that guy.
I think
he needs to touch the ball constantly throughout the game, get his shots up, and be in a rhythm. I don't think he's the guy that can just, out of nowhere, light it on fire.
I just kind of think he needs to let go of starting. You know what I mean? Like, my coach used to tell me all the time, it's not about who starts the game. It's who's in there in crunch time. It's who's finishes.
You can still
finish with him. You know what I mean? Like,
matter of fact, when it gets ISO time, there's nobody else that you want in the game. Yeah.
You get him in there. He doesn't have that all those miles on his body from the game and starting and all that other stuff and playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, when it's crunch time for the Clippers, is Jamal Crawford still there? I think he's in Timberwolves.
No.
But when those great
Lou Williams
teams,
is in there.
That's what I'm saying. Lou Williams is in there. Eric Gordon is in there. Like those teams that have these great six men.
Yeah.
They're still in there in crunch time. Yeah. They're still hitting those game winners. They're still getting all the
vital piece.
Super vital, especially if you want to win games. But I guess you got to decide what's more important.
All right, let's talk real quick. I want to bring up it's a little bit old, but I want to bring it up because I thought it was interesting. This David Fizdale firing. Everybody made a big deal about this. You saw a bunch of players.
Yeah.
So David Fizdale, Fizdale.
LeBron James made Fizdale. A big.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what I meant to say. So David Fizdale, who's a coach for the Memphis Grizzlies, really I thought was really intriguing coach. Like I really liked him in news conferences. Whether he was that good a coach, I do not know. But in terms of like his personality, it was really nice personality. Mm-hmm. He always had his players back, but especially their point guard,
Mike Conley
Jr. He would always defend him, say he wasn't getting the calls, and it was a really cool relationship he had with Conley. They lose 8 in a row, he gets fired. And LeBron comes out, he's tweeting, he tweets it out like it was something suspicious.
Yeah.
He goes, Fizdale just got fired. I got to look into this. What's really going on here? Something like that.
Mm.
Couple things going on.
Mind your business.
First of all, mind your business. Second of all, if you aren't going to mind your business, check your record. Because LeBron, you fired your coach, not after 8 straight losses.
David Blatt.
When you were the number one seed in the East, you fired your coach who was the captain of the All-Star team.
Yeah.
So the fact that you could...
just came from the finals too, right?
The fact that you could possibly... You fired your coach after a trip to the finals, mm-hmm. in which your team was injured during the finals, and that's why you guys ended up losing.
Yeah.
And you guys were the number one seed in the East, and you fired him. And we all know who fired him. It wasn't the organization.
No.
It was you who fired him. So to act like a team who lost 8 straight games, fire their coach is something bad. I don't think it's that absurd. Second of all, I look into it. Fizdo hasn't spoken to Marc Gasol in 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. Now, you want to know something interesting? David Blatt never spoke to LeBron.
Wow.
I found that out. That's what apparently the Cavaliers people are saying, is they never had that independent kind of dialogue. He never felt like he could coach Bron, probably out of fear, because if he thought he was going to come down on him, coach him, et cetera, he was going to lose his job. Mm-hmm. I guess it turns out LeBron does want that.
That's true. But here's the thing with that, right?
If you can't manage your players in the NBA, this all I'll say, if you can't manage your players in the NBA, that is the job.
That's what makes Phil the GOAT.
That's what makes Phil the GOAT, and that's what makes these other guys. I mean, you look at Doc, able to manage all those personalities. Kerr. You look at Kerr.
Pop.
I mean, if you cannot manage your star players, and you saw that tweet that came out by Gasol, if I'm not out in the fourth quarter, that means I'm not wanted.
Yeah.
Once your star tweets something out like that,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Yeah. And that's part of it. I feel like we're getting overly sensitive about something that's quite obvious.
No, I was one of those people. Like, it surprised me because, like, with the Fizdale was like one of those like star assistants for a while. He was an assistant coach for the Big Three Heat. So like that's why Bron and Wade like went to bat for him so quickly. You know?
Yes. That's right.
So you know, I could see why, you know, they jumped in there, but it's like, come on, you know what I mean? Like, you cannot have a great star player or a great relationship with your star player. Like, you should be harder on your star player than you are on anybody.
What did Pop do to Tim?
He was the hardest on Tim.
Rode that ass.
Hardest on everybody. And that's every great coach I've ever seen has been like that. It's either you ride him the hardest or the guy's just so good that you undercoach him on some like Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry stuff. Mm. Where like Curry's so nice, like he's just like, dude, you're amazing. I don't know what this is like. You know, like, you ever see that clip? Like, if you ever see that clip when Steph Curry dribbles like a million times around the Clippers and like they're like, he's like dribbling, and just heaves it like 40 feet away. Yeah. And Steve Kerr's just like,
all right, yeah.
All right. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're that nice. We're like,
the one thing Steve Kerr's usually better at than his players.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't even give Curry advice on that.
Exactly.
Like, usually he steps in and goes, listen, you know, keep your elbow in a little bit. Let me help you. I'm a good shooter. All right, I win championships. Yeah. And Curry's just like, hush. He's like, okay, I'll go back over here and be sarcastic.
There's been time.
That is his go-to, right? Don't ask Steve Kerr a serious question.
Oh, fuck no, dude.
What are you doing in Miami? We've been fucking thoughts and fingering bottle waitresses. We got back at 9 a.m.
He's out here partying real hard. And like when he's giving out the lineups now, he's like just clipping his fingernails on the press car. It's like, does anybody have a sweeter gig than Steve Kerr?
Dude, it's just the best.
Like, I'm probably going off subject right here, but let's talk about just like basketball lives, right?
Yeah.
Not a career, not a stat.
He's
not
the
a
punter.
Player.
Of the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, you just
of the NBA.
You just show up, do a little bit. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to get fired.
Minute.
Everybody on your team's a knockdown shooter.
Let's talk about, like, just his basketball life.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of, like, Robert Horry, maybe Shaq, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talk about who's had a better basketball life than Steve Kerr. You play with the legendary Bulls team.
Yeah.
You played with the legendary Spurs team.
Yeah.
You got countless rings. You went and became front office for the Phoenix Suns. Got them back to prominence. Went to work for TNT. Great analyst. You know what I mean? Got hired back to coach the Knicks by Phil Jackson. You tell Phil Jackson, I'm good. You go and win 2 championships. And you're barely doing shit. You're just like, go out there. Just
move the ball.
His
whole thing is movement.
And just when it can't get any sweeter for your team, when you blow the biggest lead in finals history, the one blemish in your career.
That's a great point.
You get Kevin fucking Durant. on your team. Who's had a better basketball life than Steve Kerr? I can't think of many.
That's actually a great point, because movement is just, whoever you're giving it to is going to shoot and make it. So just keep moving the ball. Let's get to a great shooter.
It's like, you like open shots, right? You like hitting shots? Just fucking pass until somebody's open, and then we'll be good. That's all he's coaching, dude. And play some defense sometimes. That's it.
He can't even believe his life.
No.
Like, no way. He's constantly just looking around.
You can see it in his face. You can see it in his face. Like, yeah, bro, I can't believe
God
I'm here.
God literally has to take his back from him every once in a while. Like, yeah, you can't walk for a month, man. Fuck that. That's enough.
I don't know what that spinal tap is. Like, listen, we got to bounce this thing out, bro.
It's been too good.
You've been living too sweet, man. And what happens? What happens? Your fucking assistant goes off to coach the fucking Lakers afterwards.
Yo, for real.
Like, dude, yeah. Like.
What if his back didn't even hurt? He just wanted to know if he was worth it at all. he's like, do I have any effect on this team whatsoever? Hey, my back is like the fluid. There's a thing. Didn't it sound like he made it up? What's wrong with your back exactly? Yeah, you know, the fluid. Look, obviously you don't know a lot about backs here. Let me explain.
No backs
so there's a fluid. Look, there's a fluid that's supposed to go. So we're going to tap it. We're going to spinal tap. That's a band. Look, just trust me. I have headaches and I'm depressed from your back. Yeah, that's what happens when you get the fluid taken out of your back. Yeah, totally. So I'll be back in like a month. And he's just sitting there going, you know what? These fucking Warriors are going to lose 20 games. I'm going to prove to the world that I'm the greatest coach in history. And then immediately they go on and have a 73-9 season. He's like, well, you know what? Fuck it. Okay? I put the system in place. It was me who put the system out there.
Did anyone coach of the year that year, too?
Of course he won coach of the year.
He won coach of the year. He was like, I think it's just kind of go to Luke Walton. He
and
was
again,
there for most of the
Mark
season.
Mark Jackson, my homie Peter, always said it. Mark Jackson built that team, made everybody better, and then got fired. Steve Curry came in, and here's how easy that job is. Mike Brown was kicking ass. Yeah. What was he, 10-1
in the finals? In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
It was just running through.
Mike Brown.
Running through Western Conference teams. Yeah, that is like, so true. Like a hot knife through fucking
Mike
butter.
Mike fucking Brown. Bottom five coach I've seen in my lifetime. Mike Brown.
Yo, you know Steve Kerr was like, listen, there's no way Mike Brown can make this. This is what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to make sure Mike Brown's an assistant. I'm going to pull the spinal tap thing again because I still believe that, okay?
It's still working.
Still working spinal tap. They haven't even checked my medical history or anything like that. Okay, I'm gonna let Brown coach. Guaranteed in the playoffs, Mike Brown's going to lose. Like, this is good, one of the worst coaches in history.
Have you seen a Mike Brown offense?
No, because he doesn't have one.
The Mike Brown offense is LeBron do something, please. That is it.
LeBron got to score 25 in a row. His fourth year in the league. That's the only way we do anything.
Golden State juggernauts the Western Conference in the playoffs. And Curry's just like, all right, my back is fucking better. Can I win the goddamn championship? Jesus Christ. All right.
Steve Kerr, his basketball luck in life has just been so great. I think he was just doing a heat check on life. I was like, fuck it. Like,
he was doing a heat check.
Let me pull up from 40.
I need to meet another person with this back ailment.
Yeah, exactly.
He has the 1 in 6 billion back ailment.
I don't know what it was.
Wasn't it some shit like the lights are too bright at the stadium or something?
He's making it up. Listen, the liquid, here's what happens. It's the lights at a certain aperture ignite the liquid in my back. And with my liquid is united. Crippling depression comes over me.
It's not something you could just check. You know what I mean? It's not like, I can just show you.
He's making all of it up on the spot. Listen, if you're not making up, Steve, I'm incredibly sorry.
We're sorry. We're fucking with you.
Listen, you go your entire career without a single back injury.
Steve Curry can take a joke. All he does is say jokes.
Hey, Steve, we're being sarcastic. Steve does answer questions like English people. Have you ever met like an English person who just you can't have a conversation with? He does. He has no lips. I get it. You know?
He's pale.
If I didn't hear his voice, I'd expect like a Prince Harry type of accent.
Yeah. That's Prince Harry Day.
But that is how English people answer shit. Like any question you ask them, it's always a sarcastic remark, right? So what part of England are you from? Shanghai. Because it's not in England.
It's like it's my highbrow humor. Fuck you.
Anyway. Motherfuckers. I just wanted to get that thing out.
Shout out to Steve Kerr.
Shout out to Fizz.
Sorry for the subject change. I don't know where the hell we were.
We'll see you all Star Weekend.
That's a great point.
We're going to have a nice seat with lots of lumbar support for you.
Thanks.
At the Flavor 2 table.
He's not going to be coaching. He's going to be the Rockets go. Who
the Rockets?
D'Antoni.
D'Antoni's going to fuck around.
I fuck with D'Antoni, man.
Oh, listen.
So you brought up an interesting question, Akash. Can the Rockets beat Golden State now?
Yeah.
In a series?
No, just if they play. Yeah, in a series. If they play the series now. The game is,
right now, Rockets have home court.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say Golden State is not a good road team, but Golden State at home is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden is, you guys talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who should be MVP. None of us want him to be MVP. He should be MVP.
Right. Should be it.
Chris Paul is fitting in just fine.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all want to apologize to Chris Paul.
We were dead fucking wrong about
that. Let me say one thing. Yeah. Because no other sports podcast or sports show will do this.
We were wrong.
We were wrong.
We were wrong.
And that is some shit that all they do every single day, you see Stephen A. Smith, flagrant hot take, you see Skip is flagrant hot take, and then it's wrong, and then they never talk about it again. We blistered Chris Paul, and it turns out we fucked up.
We were wrong.
That was on us. We were wrong. It wasn't Chris. We know who it was.
We know who it was.
The Kardashians. Okay, but
I say all that to say—
You don't think they can beat him, or you think they can?
I don't think so.
Why?
Because— All this is doing, you know, this season is showing that Chris Paul is who he's always been. He's an excellent, prototypical NBA all-star point guard. He's still him. Regular season beast, right?
Ooh.
In the playoffs, not so much.
But here's the thing. So this is the difference. He has... I guess James Harden is kind of an unproven playoff commodity, but he has a guy who can help with the scoring load.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. Yeah, so Chris Paul... It, by his very nature, does not want to be your alpha scorer.
Yeah.
He wants to be your alpha ball controller. He wants to, you know, run the defensive schemes. He wants to run all
alpha
that kind
voice.
Of shit. Alpha voice. Leader. Yeah. He wants all that shit. And I can see him starting to try to chip away at Harden's alpha, which I think is bad. They did a little, I mean, it was a little friendly competition.
With the half court.
But it was a friendly half court competition. You have some insider info on this?
No. Continue. All I'm just saying is, I think we're on the same page.
Okay. So I think Chris Paul is a natural alpha. Yeah. He cannot help it. Michael Jordan is a natural alpha. If he's playing ping pong, he got to beat you. If he's playing baseball, he got to beat you. It is in his core. And James Harden, there was a little post game where he called him a midget. He goes, oh, the midget was back, so it's good to have him back, whatever like that.
He did not laugh.
And Chris Paul ain't like that shit. And he came back at him with some cute stuff. It wasn't that big, but he did not like it. Mm. And after this recent game, there's a clip on House of Highlights. Shout out to Omar.
Shout out to Omar,
And it's of Chris Paul and James Harden having a half-court shot contest. And Chris Paul gets them, and they're just bet $100. But I think it's part of this complete organic subconscious process to let James Harden know, hey, I'm an alpha.
I don't know that James Harden cares if he can still be alpha scorer.
Wait, what?
I don't know that James Harden, I think he might be willing to relinquish, like, all right, you're the leader. You're the guy who talks the most.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get the ball, I score.
Yeah.
If James Harden, if that doesn't affect Harden's confidence at all, that's totally fine. My one concern is if I'm CP3 and I care more about winning than I do about being an alpha, which he might. You let James believe he's every bit the leader of that team, every bit the alpha of that team, every bit the bigger man. Even if you know deep down you're a colder motherfucker than he is, let him believe it because he needs that to operate at the highest level. That's your ultimate assist to James Harden.
Real shout out to Stay for him.
No, for real. You know what I mean? Like that is the get the most out of your players.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I 100% agree. Just watching them, I started to see it like once they played the Knicks, because like we never beat the Rockets. But like, you know, I was watching them and just seeing Chris Paul. He came off the bench that game too, right? And just kind of seeing how Chris Paul just like completely takes over any lineup he's in. You know what I mean? Even if James Harden's in the game with him, and they didn't play a whole lot together. They kind of like, you know, went back and forth with like leading the team, whatever. But the thing with James Harden is that his usage rate is so high that not only is this only going to make Chris Paul's numbers more gaudy than they probably should be, because this is D'Antoni's running fun and gun system.
Yeah.
But
Gaudy is good or bad?
It's
big.
It means big. I mean, you know, it swells. You know what I mean? My thing with this is that I think Chris Paul had to kind of play his position.
I've been to the buildings that the Gaudi, I imagine that's in Barcelona. Like, that's not nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay. No, I think it's in the South, they say Gaudi. I mean, maybe it's a Southern thing. We say Gaudi.
Yeah, oh, I thought it was
big Gaudi numbers. Like, you're putting on like 30, 40, 50.
Right. Exactly. I thought it was based off of Gaudi, which is the Spanish artist who made these. Like, there's a big park.
No, we get it. You're white. You speak Spanish. Shut up. Jesus Christ, dog.
We get it. You're cultured.
Well, what I was trying to say was, before you guys assume that, is that I've been to the buildings that this guy made, and I don't even know how that word is used in English. So I was trying to say that I wasn't cultured.
That was a very subtle flex, though. I'm not going front. I appreciate it. That was a very expensive trip that you just talked about. But I respect it. Anyway, I was saying all that to say
thank
this.
You, Larry, Sandra, Larry and Sandra Schultz for holding your boy down. Go yes, on.
So I was saying all that to say Chris Paul kind of didn't really have a choice. He didn't really have a choice but to, like, if he came in there, and especially with all the baggage that came from leaving the Clippers and, like, the clashing with the coach and Blake and all these other people, if he came into this Rockets team that really didn't really need him, you know what I mean? That were already a 55-plus-1 team, have an MVP player, and says, no, I'm the man, then I'm like, the fuck you're not. Yeah, no, this is James' team. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're just the point guard. You're not the man here. You're not the primary ball handler. If shit's going left, we're giving it to James.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So I think Chris Paul just kind of had to play his position. He's playing it much better than we all thought we would.
Let's hope it stays, you know.
That being said, I still don't think they beat the Warriors.
Why?
They're just too deep. They're absolutely too deep. I kind of think the we're falling into that lull, that false sense of like the regular season where, you know, they've been what, to 3 straight finals.
Yeah.
They're human. They're not going to take
4 straight finals. I think,
right? About to be 4 straight finals probably. Yeah. Like they can't take a Tuesday in New Orleans as serious as New Orleans is taking them.
Oh, they do not.
They don't
care
about fuck,
this season. They care about this season like my dad cares about my mom's complaints.
It's like you hear it.
She be hearing that shit.
Minimal attention
and forgetting it immediately after. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's what they are right now. I mean, you know, the Warriors are a team that I have never seen that just kind of turn it. The Cavs are talking about having that switch last year.
Yeah.
The Warriors absolutely have that switch. They literally have to play 8 minutes of basketball to beat you.
That's right. You see them go down big and they're like, okay, we'll play.
Like,
all right,
boom. Yeah, yeah. And then it's they'll like, go on like a 40-0 run.
It's like when you play a girl. Like, you let her get a few points or something like that. You let her, you only shoot from like way beyond the 3-point line.
Only use your offhand.
Yeah, you only shoot lefty. And then she gets like 4 or 5 points and you're like, all right, let me squash this bitch real quick before she gets attitude. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to take a little sidebar. Speaking of playing a girl.
Important sidebar.
Shanae Agumake.
Yeah.
Of the
we
Connecticut
need you to
Sun.
Say that Nigerian ass name.
Yeah. That's my fellow Nigerian. Shout out to her. And,
there we go.
You know,
Ubuntu.
And we don't
let's hit it again.
So for those of you who've been following Flagrant 2 on social media this past week, Shanae Agumake, WNBA All-Star, Connecticut Sun, she has answered the challenge.
Let me say this. I don't know that she'll also win. I will say this. The Connecticut Sun sounds like a newspaper nobody reads.
I'm not touching that, but it does kind of sound like a newspaper. I'm not gonna.
So look, first of all, she accepted the challenge and then immediately backed out of it. Did
she
you see
didn't
that?
Back out.
I'm okay. Booked that weekend. There's no layup tutorial that you need to be at. Stop it, okay? There's no stretching class or some shit, so you don't tear your ACL like every other female athlete.
Oh my god, she did tear her Achilles.
Of course she tore it. Your bodies are built for cooking, they're not built for crossovers. They're not built for filet. They're built to literally filet. You put the filet, a fish, filet, a fucking piece of meat or something like that, but they're not built for filet in that lane.
I understand that. That being said, I'm putting money up.
Wow.
On who?
Not on you, bro.
Fam, why would you want to lose your money?
She is a professional, bro.
Bruh, okay.
I've seen her play multiple times.
Let me ask you a question. There's a midget professional basketball league. Are you going to choose the midget or are you going to choose me?
If the midget could ball, yes.
Son,
yes.
Stop it. I'm sorry, dog. I'm swatting every shot.
First off, she's taller than you. That's one.
I know this chick is taller than me. That's what I'm saying. I looked up a YouTube clip of her. Right? It goes, Agumake, what is it?
Shanae, C-H-I-N-E-Y.
No, her last name, son.
Agumake.
Agumake. Yeah. Agumake drops 22 points in Connecticut Sun playoff game. So I'm like, oh, this her YouTube clip? It's got 100,000 views, something like that. I'm like, all right, bet. We're going to see some shit. 11 putbacks.
So
11 putbacks. Not a single move to score. Just rebound, layup.
Buckets
rebound, layup.
Buckets,
you're
bro.
Not going to get that on me.
Buckets are buckets,
I might dunk on this girl, yo. No joke. I'm working with a trainer. We're working my legs again like that. I've been doing my squats. I might dunk on a Mumuke.
A Gumuke, goddammit.
A Gumuke.
Out of sheer loyalty, I'll put money on Andrew. I will say this, dog. If she gives you a bloody nose or some shit, that's a bad look for us, dog. That's a bad look for us.
Let me tell you.
I'll take this bet, I'll make it hot.
She did say she would play with her offhand. She said she'll play you lefty.
She actually says she's going to play me lefty. Let me tell you, is she lefty?
No, she's not lefty.
That's why I asked him first. I go, what hand she use? What hand's her right hand? But I wanted to hold it to that too. First of all, it would be the stupidest thing that she's ever done to play me in basketball, let alone using her offhand, okay? Let alone using her offhand. When I say I'd be surprised if she scores a single bucket, I mean that 100% sincerely. The only way she could score a single bucket against me, the only way, there are two ways.
This is if she uses either hand or
either
she uses
hand,
a
either hand. One is she gets the ball off the check and I'm just playing lazy D and she chucks a three up and magically it goes off the backboard and in. I don't think that she'd be able to hit a good shot. It would be a lucky off the backboard and in, but that's
like
one
the
way.
One you hit against Jason Williams?
No, because I hit the rim and then dropped like a tear. You know what I mean? Like a tear that came out of Jason Williams' face. But the other option is a crazy hook shot or something like that. But in reality, there's no fucking way. She's getting that ass kicked. And she's already making excuses that she can't do it. So listen.
Oh, no, trust me. We're going to set this up. We're going to set this up. We're gonna make this happen.
Ogumake, my friend, my sweetheart, my friend. I think that it is in your best interest to keep it real about why you don't want to play me on February 7th.
Why is that?
Because you know it's a bad look for the WNBA. When I wash a WNBA All-Star.
Bro, she's going to wash you.
Listen.
She's going to wash you.
The only way that she could wash me if it was like a Turkish bathhouse. And that was part of like the procedure that I paid for after a long massage. That is the only way that she could possibly wash me.
Let's set the ground rules now.
Yeah,
let's
what are the ground rules?
Right,
yeah,
so it's one-on-one. I guess, or are we going to 11 or 21?
It could be any number.
All right, so we'll go. We'll take it to
one-on-one to seven. I'll give her an option.
To seven?
I'm giving. That's easier for her, right? The more points we have to score, like it's easier to get lucky seven times
all
than
ones,
it is 11
ones
times.
And twos. All one,
all ones.
Ones and twos.
What are we playing twos? The girl hits only layups in the thing. You don't want. We don't even want her taking a 3-point shot. Listen, here it is. All ones to seven.
Okay.
All ones to seven. You can use your offhand if you want. What I would do if I were you is use your offhand to tweet an apology for even accepting this matchup. Okay? That's what I would do with your offhand.
Man.
There's a lot of things you could do with your offhand. Okay? We have to set up the stakes. If I win, if she wins, what happens?
If she wins.
Yeah, we should bring her on and have her say.
We'll definitely have her on the show. We'll definitely want to have her show and set it up. I'm not going to speak for her.
Yeah.
But I think if she wins, you should be front row
at the
Connecticut Sun game this summer.
Wearing full Connecticut Sun jersey.
With a full Connecticut Sun jersey.
Holding a sign.
Holding a sign.
It's called a Goom McKay.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
You come up with the phrasing, but you're holding up a sign and you're promoting Flagger 2 of the podcast.
I might just have to say Shanae Ogumake.
Ogumake, yes.
Is Ogumake. Better than me.
Yes.
Period. No,
I don't even know how to write that. I will
spell it for you.
I will spell it for you.
Yeah.
You have to write. Okay, boom. This is it. Full Connecticut Sun regalia, headband and all.
So gaudy.
Everything. Oh, very gaudy.
Gaudy, whatever.
Have a sign that said, Nate Ogumike is better than me. Listen to the Flagrant 2 podcast.
Okay, and if I
front
win.
Row.
And if I win.
And if you win.
She has a job on ESPN.
She's on ESPN. They just announced she has a new podcast out on Undefeated.
Okay, we don't care about the podcast.
Fuck the podcast.
Nobody's listening to that shit.
But, yeah, she has ESPN.
The WNBA podcast.
Why am I listening to that?
Bam! We see the WNBA TV ratings.
It's a WNBA podcast.
That shit's going to do blow-ass complex numbers.
It's going
to
be a WNBA podcast.
Might as well give it to a porn star. Brandon might listen to that shit. Fuck out of here.
Okay.
Oh my God. All right, so if you win, what happens?
If I win, I get to play her entire team one on one, one after another, and we videotape it for the Flagrant 2 podcast.
Like King of the Mountain? I mean, King of the Court?
What's the
King
point of the Court? That? That's, no. What's the point of that?
Why would you want to play her more?
You, you already beat the All-Star.
Yeah, she's the All-Star of the squad.
I'm Thanos. I want my stones, bro. Yo. I want my Infinity Stones. I'm taking out the Avengers, yo. I'm going to the Connecticut Sun. I'm bringing some Klaus.
Like, this does.
I'm bringing it. Yeah, it does. Let's go.
This does make me smile. All right,
maybe we'll work on whatever what it we'll is I want from out. Her. I don't know what I
she
want
gonna,
from her.
She's going to say some shit on the TV show about you being better than her. Flagging. Maybe she just plays the tape. I don't know.
Maybe.
But is she going to have to publicly, very publicly, whoever loses is going to have to say
we're gonna,
they
we're
got
gonna,
beat.
We're going to
oh,
have
she
got
to wear a Flagrant 2
oh,
outfit.
Oh, I like that.
She got to wear a Flagrant 2 outfit, and on part of the outfit's going to say, I got hezzied. or victim of the hezzy.
Hezzy victim.
Hezzy victim. Hezzy victim. Victim.
She also needs to address what that
means. And address exactly what it means. Okay. All right, bet.
That's
right.
The bet. That's
Shanae,
the bet.
We haven't even gotten your approval here. We haven't even gotten your acceptance. We haven't
you
seen.
Need, all right, so yeah. Shanae wins.
Technically, we haven't gotten her consent. Guys, this is very hashtag
this
me too.
This is very true. Very true. You must always ask for consent over and over again. Andrew, you lose.
Yeah.
Don't even ask
Sun,
for consent. You give consent.
Connecticut Sun, front row, Jersey Shorts yeah. headband, Shanae Gumake is better than me sign.
Okay. How much is a ticket for that? $11.50?
Nah, bro, this courtside, that's like $8.
Oh, eight
to be
bucks.
Fair, it's at the Mohegan Sun, though. Right. We could go in there and gamble afterwards.
Oh, fair. Yo, right. At the Mohegan so that, Sun, I bet if you get enough tickets on the Papa Shop, they just let you, they just let you, they just let you play in the game. You get to be, you get to be starting oh, shooting guard.
Yo, you, hold on, you did more than make a layup? Well, shit, give him 25 minutes minimum. Put on this wig. Real talk.
Yo, that shit is at a casino, fam. That's disgusting.
Bro,
we did dog. Comedy at the Mohegan Sun.
Yo,
you
real talk.
You're doing a fucking professional basketball game next to a comedy club, next to an arcade.
Yo, we're
next
going.
To a Fuddruckers.
No, we're going.
What the fuck?
We're going. We're telling all the Flagrant 2 folks to
yo,
come out.
We're gonna pack that game out.
And yo, you know what we're gonna do? I almost want to lose now. During
like
halftime,
you haven't told me she's going to beat you, bro.
Get out of here. During halftime, they gotta let the three of us and seven other Flagrant 2 fans play on the court.
Have a
5-on-5 on the court during their halftime break. I think that's
that.
Reasonable.
I think that's
if
fair.
I win. Well, no, why would we go there if I win? You know what I'm
saying? The Mohegan Sun could use the WNBA could use the attendance Flagrant 2 live show.
Oh, facts.
You know what I mean?
Facts. We're going to work it out. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We know it's going to happen. Shout out to Shanae?
Yeah, shout out to Shanae for stepping up, man.
Real talk. We're going to see if she continues to step up.
We will.
Let's talk about some football. You know, they really dogged out my man Eli this week.
Damn, poor Eli, bro.
Disrespect. Straight
poor
disrespect.
Eli. Straight
man.
Charlie Browned him.
They really Charlie Browned him, yo. So for people who don't know, Eli Manning, quarterback from the New York Giants, was benched this week after playing 210 consecutive games. New York Giants are trash this year. But not all because of Eli Manning, but because he lost, you know, his three main receivers. And Coach Ben McAdoo, who has now been fired, decided to sit him for Geno Smith and some other quarterbacks because they said that they needed to look at their backups and see where they were going to go in the future.
Davis Webb is the other guy's name?
Was it Webb? Okay.
Yeah,
so I think what
well,
bothers
they, this,
me the
in fairness, yeah. I don't think this is necessarily better, but they offered Eli, hey, yep. we will let you start so you can keep your streak going.
Yes, that's true. Good point.
And then we're going to put in Geno Smith. And to Eli's credit, he was like, that's phony.
Yeah.
Just sit me.
Because yeah. it's not a real streak. There's an asterisk there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
you're letting me start half the game and then looking at these other guys. Now, I think what bothers me the most about this is they didn't keep it real, and I understand why they didn't keep it real, but I think what they really did is they realized that, I think Sterling Shepard is his name?
Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard came back this week, who is a Giants receiver. He was on the boat with them, and he's a good receiver. I wouldn't
good
say elite,
receiver,
but
yeah.
he's a
good
receiver.
He's a good second receiver.
He's a great second receiver, and he's the best receiver that they've had on the team now.
Yeah,
you know,
if you don't count Ingram.
Yeah, but Ingram's a
tight end,
right?
Yeah,
So Ingram is a solid player. So I really think what this is about is they were worried that Eli would win him a game. I really honestly believe it. They wanted to tank. They knew that Shepard's coming back this week, and you bench him before Shepard comes back because now he finally has a target, and he could fuck up and win a game, and winning a game makes you lose out on the, what is it, his name, Josh Rosen?
Josh Rosen or Saquon Barkley.
Or Saquon Barkley. There's a few people in the draft, but they
Sam
basically
Darnold,
want somebody
to be quarterback.
There's a few of them,
Here's
right?
Here's the one issue I have with that.
Yeah.
If you're Jerry Reese, the GM of the Giants, you have a lot of faith in your job security that you're not going to get fired at the end of the season to say, okay, let's tank so we can get a good pick and then we have a good team.
Right.
And he was always, from what I understand, kind of on and off the hot seat last few years.
Yeah.
So for him to do that and Bob McAdoo to do that, that's balls.
Yeah.
That's a lot of faith in your job security.
Yeah. I mean, I think McAdoo is like, look, there's no way I can make the playoffs. We're playing for next year. I think that was his look at it. He's like, if they wanted to fire me because of a losing season, they would have done it earlier. I mean, there's nothing we can do. So maybe I am going to stick around. And they put it out. And apparently the owner, Mara is the owner, said that had he known about it, it wouldn't have gone down that way.
He knew about it.
But I think that's him trying to protect himself and be friends.
He also said he wouldn't ever fire anybody midseason, and he just fired Bob McAdoo today.
Right. But he's trying to protect his relationship with Manning because I think he wants Manning to come back next year. Even if they get one of these elite young quarterbacks, he's like, listen, hang out for a year. Let us school these quarterbacks, and then they can take it over. Manning is out, and you know where he's going?
Jacksonville.
Yep. And I'll tell you something. Jacksonville's already
– be Peyton all over again, dude.
But think about it.
It's going to be Peyton all over
again. Already have an elite running back. Leonard Fournette. The defense is amazing. You have an elite corner. This guy, Jalen Ramsey is a
monster. The sassy god.
The sass god. Let's go.
He will lock you up and sass
the
fuck
whole
out
time.
Of you.
Whole time. It's not a game. So you have these, you have everything going on, but Blake Bortles is trash.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you have Tom Coughlin's favorite quarterback.
Because
Tom loves Eli.
Why wouldn't you go get Kirk Cousins? Kirk is free. The 49ers, where everybody thought he was going, traded for Garoppolo.
You want to know what?
Kirk's not proven to me, man.
One, you could argue that Kirk's not proven, but also...
Kirk is younger Eli to me.
Yeah, but Tom, I think there's something I'm learning from the Patriots, which is, in football, buying into a system is more important than...
Talent.
As long as you have a good amount of talent, and this is what Belichick does. He goes, this guy's got a good amount of talent, but I know for a fact he's going to do whatever the fuck we tell him to do. Mm-hmm. This guy's got elite talent, but he's going to be an issue.
Danny
Get the fuck
Woodhead.
Out of here.
Yeah.
With Danny Amendola, every white
any white guy under 5'9". Yeah. There's literally a beeper goes off on Belichick's phone when a white guy
Guy's available.
What sign a him white up. Guy that runs a 5'4" 5'? Okay,
now who's the new one? Rex Burkhead.
It don't matter what it is. If there's a Jewish guy in the NFL, guaranteed he's on the Patriots. That's another thing Belichick does. He goes, I'm sorry. Was there anybody that's been bar mitzvahed in this league? Has there been a bar mitzvah? Send his ass over to us. We like these guys.
That
so I think Coughlin understands that to some extent as well. And I think Coughlin, it will just go, listen, I know I can set up a system where Eli will thrive. I know him better than I know Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I know what to expect from him. And I know what not to expect from him. He'll give me everything. And he's reliable. He's not going to get injured. Yeah. Let's cook.
Yeah. So I got complicated feelings toward Eli because I'm a Cowboy fan.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I always, everybody would say he wasn't good, but I always feared Eli. After that first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
After that, I said I'd never count them out again. Yeah. 2011, they were doing horribly just like they were in 2007.
Yeah.
And I was telling everybody, I still fear the Giants. I want to see them get eliminated so they don't win another one, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody kept saying I was crazy. He did it again. But in the last 2 years, you haven't seen that version of Eli since 2011. We're going on 6 years now, and now he's old, of not seeing the Eli who can turn it on in the playoffs, don't give a fuck, shut out all the noise. He's different than Peyton. When you said he could do the same thing Peyton did, him and Peyton are polar opposites to me in that Peyton is constantly seeming to think about everything.
Yeah.
So he can dissect the fuck out of a defense.
Sure.
He can 80 touchdowns in the regular season, then the playoffs, he starts thinking. Eli ain't thinking about shit.
And not for nothing, the elephant in the room is Odell Beckham kind of stretched this guy's career out a little longer than he probably should have.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's quite possible.
Odell Beckham's a freak of nature, and he's took dink and dunks by Manning and turned them into like 80, 90 yard plays all the time.
True.
All the time. So I don't know if who the Jacksonville have, like Alex Hearns or stuff. They have like some decent receivers, but they don't have no Odell.
Mike Lee.
Mike Lee's pretty good. You know what I mean? But
again, look, the Patriots, who do the Patriots have? They have Tom Brady. Now, I think if you have decent receivers, but you give them time, and you know they have a line Fournette has been running
rough shot
through shit. You know, so I think what you need in the NFL, regardless offensively or defensively, is you need a line. And if the line can give Eli time, because the Giants had no line whatsoever. So if they can give Eli time, I think he is a good enough quarterback where he can make these passes.
Here's the difference. I want to talk about the line too, because that's going to lead me to another point about another player. But Tom Brady, there's an exact stat. Alex, you can look it up if you can find it. If not, whatever. In the last 24 games, Tom Brady has thrown something like 50-plus touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That's fucking astronomical numbers at age 40. Eli ain't never done that. You're comparing Eli to the greatest football player ever, according to most people.
I wasn't comparing Eli.
Peyton to Tom Brady?
No, I was comparing.
You're saying the system. I'm saying Tom Brady is
good. The talent of wide receivers isn't that important.
Yeah. But Tom Brady's also, I'm saying it's different because Tom Brady's the greatest football player ever.
Sure. All I'm saying is if Tom Brady is so elite at what he does, his wide receivers don't need to be that elite. And what I'm saying is, if you increase the eliteness of wide receivers, you could decrease the eliteness of Tom Brady. So all you have to do is just keep on tweaking with.
Oh, you're saying the offensive line will be better, so he'll be better.
Exactly, and the receivers will be better than what Tom Brady had. All I'm saying is, I think game managers can win you Super Bowls. We've seen it happen before. Yeah. If the defense is strong, a game manager can win. And Eli Manning at this stage of his career can, at the very minimum, game manage.
But he just throws so many dumb interceptions. That's always really, been the knock against. Eli has always been interceptions.
Eli always will throw you a shitty interception. Eli will sleepwalk through the first 2.5 quarters of a game and turn into Joe fucking Montana
in the
fourth quarter. Yeah, yeah. I've seen it countless times. Like, he'll have a dumbass interception in the first quarter. He'll get it out the way.
Yeah.
And then when it hits the fourth quarter and it's somewhat close, he'll put you in a position.
There will also be games where he will sleepwalk the whole game.
Yeah. That's true.
He throws a lot of picks. And so for a game manager, that's a problem.
I don't think he's that much of an interception.
He's throwing a lot of picks. He's throwing a lot. And especially in today's NFL, I heard the numbers. It was something like 130 picks and then 110 interceptions, something like that.
Yeah.
In today's NFL, that's not good.
If he's got Leonard Fournette, though.
That's the other thing. It's going to be easier on him. Like, this guy had no line and no running back for the last, 3 years? Mm. 4 years?
He's had one guy to throw.
Yeah, no, and that's that's the biggest problem is they had no O-line. Yeah.
And no running. So the whole offense is on him. He's going to have to force plays. He has way more third and longs.
His whole career.
If you have third and shorts, right? If you have what Tom Brady always has, Tom Brady always has 34, 36. Now, I'm not saying that that's why he's so successful, but I'm saying if you can actually get some push on that line, it makes it much easier for your quarterback. But if it's third and 10 every single down, every single third down, yeah, of course,
Dak Prescott,
you're going to force some passes
in
there.
Would be a great quarterback for the Jaguars. Dak, I mean, he had 3 horrible games this season, but for the most part, Dak doesn't throw picks. Mm-hmm. Dak takes a safe pass. That's what Dak does.
Yeah.
Eli will throw it downfield. Eli will throw bad passes. I don't think he's...
Why do you think?
Kirk Cousins will throw bad picks,
Why
too.
Do you think?
Because that's historically what he's done his whole career. Not.
Would it be fair to say he's doing that because there's nobody else on his team that can score, so he has to take more chances?
No, I'm talking even when he won the Super Bowl. They had good running backs. Ahmad Bradshaw was a good running back. They were built on their defense.
And those teams, and
how did they win the Super Bowl?
Those giant Super Bowl
teams.
They
won the Super Bowl because Eli escaped a sack and then just threw a fucking prayer that caught on David Tyree's helmet.
Right.
And that's not a game manager throw.
But what about those Giants teams?
It's a winning throw.
Weren't world beaters either. They were like 9-7 or like 8-8.
The strength of that team was their defensive line.
Elite defensive line, right? They only had to rush 3 guys or 4 guys, and you could just sit everybody back in coverage, and they could still get pressure on a quarterback. Absolutely. But that being said, it's not like the game was 7-0. They had to score to get there in the first place, right? Yeah. So he had to put points up on the board, and he made elite throws there. I'm not saying that Eli is the most elite quarterback of whatever, and I'm also saying when we talk about how many interceptions he throws, we're comparing him to other Super Bowl category quarterbacks. Like, you can't compare a Manning with Blake Bortles. You compare Manning to Brady, Rodgers, Peyton, and these other people who have Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, he's going to be the worst of that upper echelon. But he's still talked about there. He's still got
to, too. He's talked about because he caught fire twice in historic fashion.
Yeah.
And I don't take that away from him. I don't think that he's a fluke.
Yeah.
But the last time he caught fire was 6 years ago.
But he also got you there. And he also got you 30... enough wins to
I'll
get
put it
there.
Like this. I'll put it like this, right?
Like, he didn't just throw what? All interceptions, and then they by accident got into the playoffs.
They
like,
were the fifth seed and I think the fourth seed. They so they weren't the they seed. Weren't world beaters, like
they
Cass
weren't
said.
They weren't world beaters. Winning and records. At the same time, okay, boom. Look at your NFL playoff picture right now. You wouldn't take Eli Manning over Brett Hundley?
I'm just saying
over Alex Smith.
There is another free agent quarterback, potentially two.
No, but let's go through this. Like, this is an interesting talk. Would you take Eli him over Brett Hundley? Yes.
Yes.
Alex Smith? Yes.
Yeah. Who else? Who's in the Derek Carr? The Raiders aren't looking.
I don't know that I'd take him over Alex Smith.
Alex Smith lost 6 out of 7. I'm taking him over Alex.
Eli Manning 2-9, fam. What are we talking about?
Yeah, but Alex, what's his face?
Who's Jacoby Brissett from the Colts?
Oh, the Colts, yeah. I'd take him over.
God, Tom Savage.
I'd take him over Savage.
Like, we are in a super deprived era of quarterbacks right now because of injuries, and like everybody's gone down except for like your Brady's, your Prescott's,
I don't think Eli's bad. I'm just saying
I'd take him over Dax. Or Dak.
Over Dak?
Yeah.
Zero chance I'd take him over Dak.
What has Dak done?
We don't need to troll. My point is,
what has he done?
I mean, ever since Zeke's been out, he's been
bye.
No, seriously. And there's a case for he's three bad sick. Games. He's also in his second year. Yeah. Eli's in his 15th. And if I'm Jacksonville, again, this is what I'm saying.
This season, I would take Dak over Eli. I'd take Eli over Dak.
No, I would.
If it's just for one season,
I would.
Why not?
Because Dak is younger, smarter, better.
How? They suck.
The Giants suck.
Well, who has more talent?
I'm not
Do the Giants
this.
Have? Can I'm not trolling. No.
I know you. I'm not doing this.
No. Don't dismiss my logic. I have good logic here.
Okay.
Do the Giants have currently a Dez Bryant?
Dez Bryant's not. Dez Bryant doesn't seem to be in his peak anymore.
But do they have a Dez Bryant level receiver? Do they have a Jason Witten level tight end?
Yes.
Ingram, you think is Jason Witten level?
Jason Witten also
Ingram
has fallen
is
off.
Dumb nice.
The difference is the offensive lines, and that's the
and
difference.
Who's got a better offensive line?
That's the difference.
Who?
The Cowboys.
So the Cowboys have a better offensive line, arguably even tight end, and better receiving core.
Yeah, I guess you could say better receiving core. So, last year though, the when the Giants had their pieces,
Eli had all that.
No, he's had that. He's had good
and
lines.
And he won Super Bowls.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I can, see, your troll- I can see you trolling.
I'm just saying, how many Super Bowls Dak
can
win?
Can we please just move
How many
on?
Super Bowls? Yes, Dak has a nice shape up every Sunday, but that don't mean that he's a good
he's
quarterback.
Got, he's got a decent shape up at best.
He's got a good shape up every Sunday.
He can also afford to fix the tooth. But the point is...
is there a chipped tooth?
Yeah, he got a chipped tooth. From a fight, because he's a G. And his
really?
He fought
That's
with
crazy.
His teammates.
You know who doesn't have a chipped tooth?
Eli underbite Manning?
Yeah, it's only underbite when he's getting serious.
You can't see his top row.
Wait, does he really have an underbite?
Yeah, dog.
We
That's why
get rid
he
of
seems
him.
Dumb.
Get
to
rid
us.
Of him.
But this is what about bad offensive lines destroying quarterbacks. This is something I wanted to say. I want to say 2 weeks ago, forgot, then got sick last week, and I thought everybody was going to be saying it this week. How the fuck are we not talking about Russell Wilson as MVP?
Oh. On top of that, I had a fire take yesterday.
Yeah.
And I tweeted about that along your same lines. And I don't think people are ready to hear it.
Go.
I think Russell Wilson is the greatest black quarterback of all time.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
Who's
on.
The competition, though?
Look at the competition. Look at the resume.
Hold on.
All this guy has done since he's gotten in the NFL is win football games. He has a Super Bowl under his belt already.
And to this point, this is what I was going to bring up. The Seattle Seahawks right now are in the playoff hunt. Their offense, they had a good running game yesterday, I think, but their lead back, he's their leading rusher.
Yeah.
He is obviously their quarterback. Yeah. The offensive line is trash.
They traded for Dwayne Brown, who's helped a little bit.
But even that's going to take continuity, and line's going to take a while to gel.
This kid Davis is playing well. I think that was
I think
the
he had a good game, but up until yesterday, Russell Wilson, I heard the stat, was their leading rusher.
Yeah.
The watching him play is miraculous, how he eludes sacks, how he creates any kind of winning play, and their defense isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, Legion of Boom is done.
Legion of Boom
no
is
Cam
gone.
No Chancellor, no Richard Sherman.
Okay, let's talk about this, because this is interesting.
He's absolutely at the top of my MVP candidate.
Russell Wilson, I think it's very reasonable to say that he could potentially be this year's MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He personally is extending the length of plays and giving his team an opportunity to you know, further ball just with his feet. Like, we see the offensive line collapse, and we see him, you know, what did you bootleg? We see him just run around and extend these.
He's
plays.
Michael Vick behind the pocket,
absolutely,
or behind the line.
No, yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. Yeah, because where Vick would break, he stays back and he still looks. And then Baldwin is thriving off. Think about it, and incredibly elite at throwing on the move.
Yeah.
Like, very accurate.
Like, he has, like some Brett Favre, Steve Young shit going on with the scrambling and just keeping plays alive all the time.
So I love giving him credit, be as credit is due. And you know, what's interesting is his coach has been saying it the whole time, but he just hasn't been given the credit. We've been giving the defense the credit the whole time. Mm-hmm. Here's a question. Are Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor that good, or is the system that good? Because neither of them are there last week or yesterday. And they shut down that Philadelphia Eagles offense.
Carson Wentz is so fucking good, by the way. Jesus
fire.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. He's good, but they shut him down.
Yeah, they did.
Shut him down.
They shut him down. And this offense has been on fire.
Yeah, but I'll answer that with this, man. Okay. You lose games sometimes. You know what I mean? The Eagles aren't going to run the table. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
They also looked weirdly scared. Like, they
that's what I'm saying. Like,
twice on fourth and two at midfield. Just moves that are saying, I'm not playing to win.
I think not for nothing. Like, there's still a certain mystique to CenturyLink Field and that Seattle 12th man.
That's a tough place to play.
That's a tough place to win anywhere.
Bunch of drunk white folks just getting all their liberal angst out on the field, just screaming. This is the closest they can get to being racist and screaming at black people.
What, in Philly? You're saying?
No, in Seattle.
Oh, shit.
This is the only time they can scream at black people and not feel guilty about it.
Oh, that's facts. I do.
Ah, that's great. That's great. They're the most liberal, progressive people in the world. And then every Sunday, they just scream.
They just let it all out.
That is so great.
They were holding it all week.
God. Oh, just words that sound like racial words, but they're not. Legion of, not coon, doom. It's the legion of, what is it? Boom. It's the legion of boom, right? One letter off. Not exactly what I want.
Right.
We're not being racist, okay? Everybody,
our quarterback is black.
Yeah. I'm gonna be racist if I love my favorite quarterback is a black guy. That's great. Oh man,
no,
that's right. Sneaky ass racist liberals. What else do they have going on up there?
Bunch of Al Franken's up there.
There really is. There really are. Yeah. Oh, you're so progressive. You care about women until they fall asleep, you fucking pervert. Oh my God. This is so interesting. What other sayings do we have?
They're the 12th man.
The 12th man. You know what else is 12 people? A jury. You racist motherfuckers. You racist motherfuckers, because the justice system is corrupt. That's why you love being the 12th man, huh? Don't you?
Oh my God.
So you can put black people in prisons, you racist. So, Washingtonians, or whatever you call yourselves.
Well, I was saying on Twitter yesterday.
Yes.
And I said, Russell Wilson might be the greatest black quarterback ever. We just don't give him that credit because he's a nerd.
Yeah, he's a dork. Yeah. That's why Sherman and him got beef.
Yeah, that's why he didn't really fuck with Marshawn like that. Like, he wasn't invited to the wedding and none of that stuff. But, like, you hit the nail on the head. I don't think it's a might. Like, whose resume stacks up to his?
It's not. I don't know. I can't think of anyone who's close at the moment. Nah. I thought Vic, no chance. Randall Cunningham, no chance.
I got a lot of Warren Moon yesterday.
Moon was great.
I don't know. Did Warren Moon win a Super Bowl?
Warren Moon's a Hall of Famer. Never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he got into the league like super late.
And Warren Moon was great.
Okay. Fantastic player. I'm taking Russell over Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I'm taking Russell over.
And I hate saying that because I love Cam Newton for the longest.
I'm a Cam fan.
He's better than McNabb.
Donovan might have been the most overrated quarterback in history.
Overrated?
If you look at his numbers, apparently his numbers were absolutely abysmal, but he kept making it to the championship game. Yeah, he kept making
it to the championship. But he had some MVP years, no?
My understanding, and Colin Coward put out a piece about it, because he was making the argument that Andy Reid was a phenomenal coach, and he took this quarterback with incredibly low QBR to championship game. Four, I think it was.
Four.
Yeah. Anyway, but going, okay, so we have nobody else there to compete.
I mean, who else is Colin Kaepernick at one point?
That's right.
I mean?
For like, way better than Kaepernick.
Yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson is, with, like, to me.
So what's the issue? Why is he not black enough?
I don't think he's not black. And the funny thing is, like, you know, I had bots tweeting me like, he's only 63% black with like screenshots of his Wikipedia page. I'm like, I don't give a fuck, dude. Like, he's a black guy. But I think,
what happened to three? When, what is it? What was the
1% rule or something?
Yeah, there was like some 1% rule with your blood or something like that.
1% black, you black.
Yeah.
Is that
116th? That was it.
Oh yeah, nah, he's 63%. He passes with fine colors. Yeah, yeah. All I'm saying
for the 1800s, he's black.
Exactly. Not only is he's tough as nails too. He got fucking concussed like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, dude.
Or something.
He was playing with a high ankle sprain, which in football puts you out 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. He was playing with that all last year with a terrible offensive line.
And most importantly, all of you guys that don't think that he's black enough, he married a black woman.
Yes, a very black woman.
Eventually.
All you
eventually. He got around.
Listen,
he extended the play of life. He was just extending the play like he always does. He was going to get there eventually. You know.
You have to get that white devil out of his system.
He didn't have kids with the white wife, did he?
No.
He waited to have sex with Sierra and impregnated her immediately. Yeah.
And not only is he fathering Sierra's kids.
Future's kids
as well.
And he's taking in other black kids who don't have a father figure in their life.
My man is real life Cosby.
He's all or nothing. He might be the blackest quarterback.
No.
When it's all said and done.
Max.
It's like, what's more black than that?
He got a rapper's kid in his house, an R&B singer. He's an NFL player.
Fucking white woman? Like, he's everything we strive to be.
Wow.
How is he not?
Yo, we have a conversation with Richard Sherman. You know what I mean?
It's like, maybe something wrong with y'all, Legion of Boom. Maybe I should hang out with him more.
Wow.
Maybe.
He got a Beats deal now. Don't he got a Beats sponsorship?
I think he's Bose.
Nike. Bose.
No, it's so Bose.
Funny.
He's
Bose. His sponsorships are so funny. Yeah, yeah. Bose is funny instead of Beats.
Bose, also, Bose some nerdy ass shit.
Also, Doug, he's sponsored by an airline, first of all. Second of all, it's airline? Alaskan Airlines.
Oh, yeah.
Alaskan. Flying in to fuck the Eskimo chicks, the snow bunnies.
He goes, which airline got the most white bitches?
He's got those weird like Kobe endorsements that Kobe used to have, and like he was sponsored by like Nutella and like just Turkish Airlines and all these weird stuff. But like he'll go overseas.
Kobe
and get, like,
did have soccer
good
endorsements when you
think
about
it. Kobe and Messi had an Emirates commercial together.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was the Emirates. And I'm
they
like,
had the Emirates
and
Airlines.
Like it was shot like super like grainy. Like they shot it like overseas. Like you only see it like if you go to like Thailand and shit.
And no matter what the commercial was, Kobe had to speak his second language.
Exactly.
Like, we get it, Kobe.
We get it, bro.
You speak Italian.
You're Italian.
Yeah, it'd be the most random Pepsi commercial, and then out of nowhere, some girl goes, "Parla italiano." Kobe's like, "Claro que parla italiano." Drink Pepsi. It's like, all right, we get it, bro.
Oh, God.
Fucking Gaudi. Gaudi or whatever it is.
Gaudi. It's a Gaudi episode.
You gaudy ass person, you. Okay, Tiger back.
Yes.
Let's go.
Go back.
So Tiger got this spinal fusion surgery, which I don't know if you guys.
Same thing Steve Curry is waiting to get.
Right.
It's a lot of back surgery talk today.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but I looked up spinal fusion surgery, and basically what they do is they fuse your dick and white women again, and that's how you get back to winning golf tournaments, bitch. Let's go. Bottle bitches getting this Tiger dick. Hey. Bottle bitches getting this Tiger dick. Hey. He's back. They're great. Let's make it happen. So whatever it is ready to go again.
What
this
is
dude,
in the water, bro?
Bro, he was tied for a second, I think, after the second round, right?
What,
I think in the third round
off,
he fucked up.
Off?
What, who, Tiger?
Yeah, was it 2 years off or 3 years off? I forget.
I don't know how many years off it is, but I know that there's a lot of waitresses at Tao that are happy. Oh, and they can't wait till they come back for a nice tournament out in Long Island or something like that. But he's back and he's balling.
Wait, didn't he fall off after the first two rounds though? Didn't he kind of fall back?
Yeah, I think after the third one he was, you know, up three or some shit like that. But he showed signs.
Yeah.
You know, for the first.
I didn't like Tiger for the longest.
Yeah.
On some Russell Wilson shit. I was like, he's corny. I don't like him. He's a nerd.
Right.
He seemed arrogant. He don't seem anything to want to do with his minority side.
Yeah.
Fuck that. And now, that was just such a fall from grace, man. I think everybody's rooting for him again.
Yeah.
Yo, like, we've seen him take his licks.
You make a great point, okay? But this shows how fucked up we are. When someone is a pinnacle of an example of a great person, husband, and athlete. We look at them, look at this fucking cornball. What is he, faithful to his wife?
What does that?
He wears salmon-colored shirts. What does he, speak eloquently? What is this stupid shit? We hate him. And the second we find out that he's an alcoholic, pill-popping philanderer, we're like, all right, this Tiger guy, look, he's one of us, ain't he? Come on, Tiger, I think he can win again.
In fairness, I didn't root for him to win until just now. Now I'm like, all right. This is fucked up on all
You need to be in a relationship. You need to be in a relationship where you had some moments like, I think my girl might hit me with a golf club. I really think she's angry enough to hit me with a motherfucking golf club. If I don't drive away drunk, I'm going to get my ass beat.
No, I think this is actually a different point that's fucked up about is we need to see you as the general public. We need to see you have your comeuppance. Yeah. We need to see you get punished for whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, he's fine.
Why do we need that shit?
I don't know what it is, but that's what
it makes us feel better as people. Because
we ain't shit.
I felt like justice was served.
I'll never be as good at anything as Tiger Woods was once at golf. On his worst day. And a lot of people probably feel the same way. So it's like, God, it brings him down to earth a little bit. And we just like seeing that, man. We're terrible people all on the inside. We don't like everybody just being just super successful, super wealthy. The fucking you're the once in a generation talent of a sport that banned people like you for most of its existence. Like, we should be celebrating that. We're just like, fuck that. I mean, fuck golf, fuck Tiger Woods. It wasn't until like he fell off that we're just like, all right. Yeah.
I also read that piece. Did you read that piece? I think Wright Thompson wrote it about Tiger and his father. It's a fucking great article. If anybody's got time, it's about Tiger after his dad died, all of a sudden just started drinking a bunch and philandering a bunch. And then he really wanted, that was when he wanted to be a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
And it really humanized him in a way that I was like, oh, I didn't like this dude for all this shit that was really just me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now I'm seeing him as a person, a three-dimensional person who's like in pain. And like, I just viewed him in a whole different light after that.
And I think that's all we really want out of our athletes. That's all we really want out of like anybody in the public light, really. Like, anytime you see somebody like that, you don't want to think that they're this perfect thing because you know you're not perfect.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you know what, like, it is? What is it?
This is why we hate Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, he got no flaws. It's why we love Logan. We love Wolverine.
Yeah.
He's all flawed.
Batman,
all flawed. Like, we like to see him get lumped up, beat up. You know, we need...
parents died, fam.
I was thinking about what it takes. We were talking about Western Bros. Listen, check out Western Bros, by the way, the Western Bros podcast. But we were talking about it, and it's like, you gotta... Like, we hate rich people. Think about what Batman has to do to be likable. He got to save the world
every day
to be a likable billionaire, right? And then you look at Bill Gates. This motherfucker is like, I got to cure malaria. And then we're like, all right, fine, you're not that bad. You know what I mean? Like if for a poor person, if they open a door for you, you go, oh, what a fucking sweetheart of a guy. Yeah.
Not me, them homeless people holding the door.
I didn't say homeless. I did not say homeless because I know that's a hustle when they open the door, they expect a tip. But when you got just nice, regular broke guy opens the door, regular broke opens the door, like, oh, thanks, bro, I appreciate it. That's a nice guy. Open the door. A billionaire opens the door for you. That's the least you could do after all the money I'm paying you for fucking Microsoft over all these years.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Tiger's fucking back.
I guess he's back then. Good Tiger, bro.
All right, so why don't we talk about how Derrick Rose could be the bad luck cloud that Melo is.
For Cleveland?
He gets injured. He goes down. Cleveland wins 11 straight.
Yeah.
He says, I might want to walk away from the team. And what is Cleveland's reaction? Health is what's most important to you guys. You know, you know what it is? It's when you're trying to break up with your girl, and then she's like, this just isn't working for me.
Like, oh, well, you know, man.
Look, you got your life to live. You got to live your life. You know, why don't you travel? Maybe if you travel, you can figure something beautiful out there, and we'll go to Greece. That's literally...
That's how they treated Derrick Rose.
They just said, Stella, get your groove back.
I mean, here's the thing with that. I think they kind of saw that even the little bit of what Derrick Rose had left in New York was not going to be enough. You know what I mean? Not going to be enough to get past Cleveland. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's what they thought they were going to get, especially if Isaiah Thomas comes back and is everything that he was when he left Boston. So it's just kind of like, all right, what do we do with this guy? Like, you know, if he wants to retire and he's already injured, you know what I mean? We're already, and at that time before he got injured, they were like, what, like 7-9 or something? They were below 500. Yep. They weren't playing good basketball, whatever. And now that they're playing good basketball, I mean, I don't think they're terrible people. I think as people, they do really want Derrick Rose to be all right because it's fucked up what's happened to him as far
they're
as
friends,
like,
I think. You know they're what I mean? Friendly with him.
They're friendly, but you know, as you know, when it comes to basketball, as far as like winning games and championships, like, could you trust him? You know what I mean? Like, this is the second time in a year, 2 years, he's done this and it's kind of and gypped off and it's like zipped off or whatever. But at the same time, yeah, you like him as a person. You understand what he's been through. Like, he's been the MVP. He's had one of the most tragic, like, kind of career arcs that, you know, we've seen in a while. So you don't want to come off like an asshole and be like, oh, well, you know, fuck him, cut him, trade him, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you want to seem supportive.
He took a massive pay cut to come to Cleveland. He knows this is his last chance to prove himself that, like, I could still be a viable NBA player in this, you know, league or whatever, or win a championship and somehow validate me or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just not sure. Not sure. And even if they were sure, him just dipping off for a couple weeks didn't help the case at all.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? So it's like, man, you know LeBron runs that company, man, runs that organization. LeBron's cold-blooded, dude.
Yeah.
LeBron's cold-blooded, man. Like, he's trying to win by any means necessary.
And if you can't help, you got to go.
And
bye,
if you can't
LJ.
Help you, bro, they got Richard Jefferson the fuck out of here.
That's crazy
love
shit.
Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, that was his homie.
You know what I mean? They got a podcast and shit together. Yeah. Him and Shannon Fry had this shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They were homies.
Done.
But,
yeah,
you know, it's about winning championships at this point. And if you can't help me,
deuces.
Peace out.
Yeah, I think you, listen, this is sad, man. This is, first of all, my first question I had when I thought about how sad I was for Derrick Rose, then I thought about Penny. It's, why does it seem like there's more of these cases in basketball than football?
Yeah.
Is my memory just wrong? Because I can think of Bo Jackson in football, where there's this guy who's this bright, shining star, and then he has his career-ending injury.
Yeah.
But in basketball, off jump, not even doing any effort, I can think of Penny Hardaway, Derrick Rose, Grant Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's awesome. A sport that doesn't kill you, that doesn't murder your brain, that is a much more gentle sport, non-contact sport for the most part.
Yeah,
they have these injuries of these stars who are shine. Derrick Rose was the fucking MVP.
Yeah,
30 like
he was,
in the league.
He was playing. He was playing point guard in a way, and people may not even remember this, but like he was playing point guard in a way that I've never. Nobody's seen him before.
Oh, yeah. It was
you
game
know what I mean?
Changer,
he was Russell before Russell.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, just like a force of fucking nature. Yeah.
I would say he was more skilled than Russell.
Yeah.
And like, he was more elusive. Like, Russell uses power.
Yeah.
He would use craft. Like,
Rose had the same type of force that Russell gets to the rim with.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was like acrobatic.
Acrobatic
he was shifty,
is better. Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
He'd
had,
get by
he had
you.
Nice
I
little
love
floater.
Derrick Rose, dog. I love what he was about. I love that he didn't recruit that year that LeBron and Dwayne Wade were free agents. Remember Dwayne Wade, whether it was smoke or not, was saying like, oh, I might go to Chicago. And he was like, if he wants to come, cool. Yeah, I'm not going to recruit.
Like they held and it's fucked up because Chicago held that over Derrick Rose for years. They were like, oh, man, how come he didn't? Help us get LeBron or get him Wade. And Rose was like, because fuck him. Like, we're trying to beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You ever watch that All-Star clip or whatever when they're doing the starting lineups and, like, everyone's dancing or whatever and Derrick Rose is next to him? Like, I fucking hate this guy and I want to tear his fucking head off. You know what I mean? That's how much of a killer young Derrick Rose was. Yeah. So it's like, seeing him now and just seeing how his body, like, you know, upstairs he probably still thinks he can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think the reason why that sabbatical was so hard for him is because I think for the past 5-6 years, he still thought like MVP Derrick Rose. Like, listen, if I'm just healthy, I got this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then now was probably the first time I was like, damn, maybe
it's
I don't.
It's not going to be like
it's
that.
It's not
yeah.
going to be like this. You Fuck. Know what I mean? So it's like, that's a tough thing to deal with. Like, yeah. that's a tough deal for any athlete to deal with. You know what yeah. I mean? The end of the road.
Accept your mortality.
Yes, yes. You think you are invincible when you're a professional athlete. And I'm not a professional athlete, but, like, you know, when you're younger, just anybody who's played any sport, anybody who's felt young or, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? When somebody tells you or your body is telling you, like, listen, you can't do this anymore. Yeah. Or you can't do this like you used to. That's some tough shit to deal with.
Yeah.
Very tough shit.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I want to play Shanae is so I can feel young again. I think that was the motivation.
Is that the reason behind all this?
Let's go. She got a good bicep. That's a strong bicep she got.
She's taller than me. Like, bro, and she can move.
She could be 7 feet tall. And I'm really mad at her, bro.
We'll see.
Everybody gets small when they're on the ground after a hesitation. All right,
bro. If she skunks you,
fam, if she skunks me.
If she skunks you,
what does that even mean?
Right.
Skunks me. What do you mean? I score no points against a girl in basketball? What is going on?
Yo, this is pay per view worthy.
This is pay per view worthy.
We should charge. We absolutely should charge.
Speaking of charging, do we talk about it now?
Oh, wait, talk about
February.
Live?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. February 7th.
We should probably put this at the beginning of the episode.
Should.
We're going to have more episodes where we'll talk about it.
But we just
booked a brilliant. We just booked a Flagrant 2 live.
Yeah.
First ever Flagrant 2 live. Shout out to Kaz for making that happen.
Yes. Kaz, the MVP of this podcast.
Absolutely, man. Yes. Without a doubt. My man is putting in work behind the scenes, boy. Thank you, Kaz. But it is appreciated. Just know that you're greatly appreciated, man.
So shout out to everybody that has been supporting Flagrant 2.
Yes.
They came to us with the offer. So that means a lot of you guys have been, you know, making your voices heard, talking about the podcast, sharing the podcast, all that type of stuff. So Wednesday, February 7th at the Highline Ballroom. Flagrant 2 Live. You know what I mean? Akash, Singh, Kaz, Andrew. It is going to be.
We might have some special guests. You know.
We're definitely having special guests.
That's the thing.
We're
gonna make. I don't know if you've ever been part of a real life Kaz production, but a real life Kaz production. If you've been to Henny Palooza or any of these events,
Kaz knows people.
Listen, man. There's always some special guests that show up. You know what I mean?
There's always some people.
What we initially wanted was for the one on one game between Shanae and myself to happen at the live.
Yeah.
We were gonna bring a hoop
in there. Uh huh.
And then either do a right in the crowd, that was Kaz's suggestion, or do it on stage because the stage is quite big. Now if we can get her to, you know, take off whatever she has to do for that, I don't even know what she's booked for.
ESPN.
What
Sports
about
Center,
it? ESPN has a cooking show?
Yeah, there's no cooking shows on ESPN.
I couldn't. I had to. I'm sorry. I had to. Damn, it was right there. I was waiting for
ESPN
Andrew to think of
is
it.
Really breaking it down. I didn't know that that's what it was. No, this is good.
Listen,
was that crazy to say?
I thought it's Flagrant 2, bro.
Listen, I'm going to be honest. I thought it was like some menstrual cycle thing that was timed out. I didn't know that it's like she's not allowed to do it during that time. And there is a possibility that she could be such a ferocious competitor during those, you know, that week that I'll be honest, that makes me afraid. That, because I've dealt with the wrath of a girl around 5'8", 5'9", 5'10".
I am not touching this at all.
During that time period, which is a tragic time period for women to have to go through. I have the utmost respect for what you deal with. And that being said, I don't know if I could match that competitive fire that she might have during that time. That's all I'm trying. That would be a huge advantage for her.
So you're saying it can only happen on 3 out of 4 weeks of the month?
I'm afraid of that 1 week. That's all I'm saying. I personally am afraid.
You need it to happen during ovulation week.
I need ovulation. I have a huge advantage because she's going to be playing against me. She's going to smell my pheromones, whatever that's called. I went to public school. So she's going to smell my pheromones, whatever like that. And that might make her have some sort of attraction. That would be uncomfortable, obviously, for her. So we have to time it in between ovulation and menstruation. I think that would be the most fair for me. Obviously, she wants. Kaz is just tapped out of this conversation.
I'm not touching this one. I've already caught shit from my girlfriend. She's like, you're so misogynistic. Jesus Christ. I'm like,
what I'm saying is, I have the utmost respect for what women have to go through, and the fact that you could even put up with that on just walking around your regular day. I can't imagine what that would add to the competitive fire of a basketball game. I think it's a huge advantage that she would have over me, and I don't think it's fair. Frankly, I don't think it's fair.
I'm not fucking touching that.
Point is,
I'm not doing it. I turned it from a negative to a positive. Let's go. I've been in this game for a minute.
Point is, we're not going to do the game February 7th. Because
we don't know. Maybe we can get Shanae off of whatever she has to do. Maybe we can ask ESPN for an exception.
We will set up this game.
It should be on ESPN Real Talk.
We will figure a way out.
I know a better place where it could be.
Oh, that's true.
We won't say just yet.
But yeah, we will absolutely make this a one-on-one thing happen. If it's not a place that we can have fans come, we will tape it and we will release it on Andrew's YouTube page. And
fuck that. This is not free content. I'm not giving this away for free. I would pay to host this. Maybe, and I'm a host.
All right, well, maybe we try to get a sponsor to put some money behind it.
I think
that'd be a good. Listen. Maybe Betty Crocker will put some money up for
Oh, this show has went off the rails so much.
Hey, Let me tell you something.
I don't apologize for shit. I am a comedian. Let me let you guys know. I know.
Kaz, I have to sit with these.
Kaz in a different situation. Not only is he an entertainer, he's also a journalist, and he's also a man that works in corporate America. Let me be very clear. Akash and I are comedians.
And let
we
me be
make
clear.
Jokes about things, and we will not let this PC social justice warrior nonsense influence our comedianness.
Let me be clear. I did not say Betty Crocker. I would have said Kotex. The fuck I would have said, motherfucker, what you talking about? Apologies will be tweeted
at
some point.
Let me tell you something. If you're listening to this right now and you're getting all sensitive about it like that, that's nothing to do with how sensitive they get when they're on their period. So why don't you have a little respect and decency and empathy for what women have to go through once every, how many times does it happen? Once every month. Once every 28 days. Lunar cycle.
You got it, bro. You got it.
Alright, so that's what we do. One thing we refuse to have happen on this podcast is to disrespect women. So if you listen to Flagrant 2, we will respect women to the utmost. For real.
Absolutely.
No bullshit. Shout out to women, yo. And for real, and one day when women get the right to vote, I'm gonna make sure that I'm there supporting them. I don't know when it's gonna happen. It should have been happening if it was up to me. But once they get that right,
I'ma
be there, Kaz. I'ma be there for them 100%.
And I can read the comments already.
Bro, it is what it is, man.
Yo, man, maybe fuck sponsors. Like, you know what I mean? Whatever.
I cussed off the rails, man. Even I pulled back. I was like, hold on. I said we were comedians.
Every time I think we're getting back on the road, I'm like, wait a minute.
How much more fun is this, though? Come on. We're independent out here.
Listen. All I'm trying to say is if you think shit is wild when the whole internet can hear us, just imagine how wild it's going to be when we're in a room with 400 people and that's the only ones that are going to know. Oh, that's going to be Flagrant 2 live. Oh, yeah. Okay?
That's going to be the most Flagrant episode.
Kaz got to watch his mouth here because everybody can hear it and it's recorded. All right? You don't got to watch his mouth Flagrant 2 live February.
Let me tell you something. We can see real Kaz as long as his girlfriend not invited. Real cast.
That's it. We want real life cast, listen. Not girlfriend, give boyfriend, some, life cast.
Give her some WNBA tickets or something.
Yo, she can go watch the WNBA weather team versus another weather team. It's always weather, right? The Chicago Wind versus. Yo, why did they name the WNBA teams after Captain Planet characters, right? The fucking Phoenix Heart, San Antonio Earth, Chicago Fire,
yo, I hate y'all.
New York I hate Water.
Oh my god.
My head hurts, dude.
You know what happens? This is just crazy. Look, listen, they got male birth control coming out, so maybe we could get that sponsor.
Oh, for
maybe.
Sure.
We deserve it. Okay. Guys, is there anything else that needs to be said?
At some point, we got to talk about Baker Mayfield. We don't need to do that this week.
We will.
Because he's in the college playoff. We got time.
Heisman's coming through. And
oh, we're going to have a lot of comments.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Interesting kid. Nice Dougie. He can't hit
he hasn't
mean
Dougie.
Dougie.
I ain't going front. You got a little bit of, you know.
But we'll get to that. Let's end on the funniest 10 minutes of any podcast you've ever heard.
Absolutely.
No question.
Yeah, I got nothing to promote this week, man. The Russell Rapp podcast. podcast this listen to WrestleRap. But Satori every Monday through Friday. And shout out to everybody who came to Terminal 5 this past weekend. Henny Palooza. A lot of Flagrant 2 fans that came through.
So, really?
Yeah, a whole lot.
Mr. C talked about it.
Yes, he compared
Mr. C talked about Henny Palooza.
To the tunnel and speed. He was like, listen, in the 90s, we had the tunnel and speed. And I'm like, damn, this dude discovered Biggie Smalls. And he's comparing Henny Palooza to like the evolution of nightlife and stuff like that. And Bro, I was super cool the entire party, like anniversary. I'm straight. I get home, I see that on Instagram, and like I was overjoyed with that shit. I'm like, this dude discovered Biggie Smalls, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, Henny Palooza is that for this generation. So shout out to everybody in New York.
Dude, wow, who that's came amazing, and man. Took so you know if Mr. C likes it, there's a lot of trans women there. So.
We back, baby!
Let's go!
We back!
Shout out to Mr. C, man. That's
there we go. Manly Palooza. Get yourself.
Manly as hell. God damn it. Good guys right. here, Devin.
Yo, no, that's absolutely incredible, man. I don't think people realize that aren't from New York how big... the venue that you guys
That's 4,000 plus.
That's folks, like the venue.
We're talking about tears and shit. There's some dope pictures. Check out your Instagram, Real Life Cast, and you can see all the pictures and shit.
And not
like
just
that.
The size of it, but like the name means something. Yeah. Terminal 5 got cachet to it. That's a historic place.
Yeah, like I was standing there, I'm like, I watched Jay-Z perform here. I watched Drake perform here. I watched 2 Chainz perform here. And like, and now I'm on stage getting drunk with my friends like some idiots. I was like, wow, this is insane.
That's the realness.
shout out to everybody who came.
Flagrant 2 live show. Thanks to my mom for taking care of me. Every Indian doctor that I called that helped me while I was sick. Hopefully y'all can figure out exactly what the fuck is wrong before this live show.
Yeah,
I would hate to die before this happens.
We
kind of
need you for this.
Yo, yeah, don't be playing around getting sick before our live
show. Just don't die, bro. We need you for this live show, bro.
What's it called? I got some shows coming up. You can find out at theandrewschultz.com. And I'm going to be this weekend in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. I don't even know where that is. I think it's kind of close to the city, though. I think it's
Hasbrook Heights.
Yeah, I think it's like right across the water. But I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday doing shows at a Bananas Comedy Club. And that'll be the 8th and 9th of December. Then the 11th through the 13th of January, I'm going to be in Rochester, New York at the Carlson. Then I'm going to be on the 18th to the 21st of January. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. at the D.C. Improv. Then February 8th through the 11th, I'm going to be at the Tampa Bay Improv. And March 15th through 17th, I'm going to be at the Stress Factory Comedy Club. And then back in New York, I headline one weekend a year at Gotham Comedy Club. And that's going to be it. We're going to make it a movie.
You're out here moving, bro.
April 13th and 14th. Man, I'm just trying to work.
Working man, bro.
Go watch... There's Johnny on Hulu right now. That'd be dope if you guys go check that out. And definitely check out the Wester Bros podcast that I do as I play basketball with in my basketball leagues here in New York City.
Better get you ready for Shanae, man.
Yo, I know. I'm out there tonight. I'm going to go out there tonight and make it happen. So, so make sure you check that out. We just did Thor, Justice League, and There's Johnny. We reviewed all of those. So check it out. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't, but I appreciate your indulgence. Thank you guys so much for listening to Flagrant 2, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.